This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
And this Lydia Reports is sponsored by Benjamin Steakhouse. Benjamin Steakhouse, great heated outdoor dining, as well as having a spacious main dining room in Manhattan and in Westchester.
When are we going?
Oh, I know, right? When are we going to Benjamin Steakhouse? It's Chad Lopez. I'm calling.
Well, you're
him
the
out
one
now.
Who's always doing the.
I know.
Benjamin Steakhouse.
I mean, know.
You should be leading the charge. Here,
I am leading the charge, but Chad Lopez, he should be taking us out, and Dave Labrosi and whoever else.
Yeah,
one of the bosses with the
guys.
Big deep pockets. Taste their sizzling prime porterhouse steak or fresh seafood selections for dining or delivery. Check them out at BenjaminSteakhouse.com, and hopefully, I will see you there. That voice you just heard, that is Juliet Huddy. We will be hosting with you guys until 3 today because it is International Women's Day. But every day should be a celebration of women everywhere. Don't you think, Juliet?
I celebrate myself every single day.
That's right. That's right. And I always say men and women are not equal. We're better.
Oh, girls rule, boys rule.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you said it much more eloquently than I.
Oh. But I mean, we can multitask. We give birth. We
well, handle, some of us do. You know, others didn't.
Oh,
okay. We are going to be talking about menopause, though.
Absolutely.
Later on in the show.
Absolutely. And in this Lydia Reports, we have to talk again about Chris Cuomo. Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon. They're good friends, right? They're good friends. They joke around. They can be entertaining, but. You know, this was kind of a little questionable, and now Chris is under fire for this. They were kind of joking around about singing Good Times. You know the Good Times song.
Good
remember?
Time,
yeah.
Time,
so let's take a listen. Play clip 15.
Just looking out of the window, watching the asphalt grow. Thinking how it all looks handy.
How do you know the words to Good Times?
You know I'm black on the inside.
Good times. Anytime you need a baby.
So
time.
Florida, who by the way was a hugely educated, I think she was a Yale.
I find that hysterical. First of all, I was impressed that he knew the words.
They planned that out, though. They planned that out.
I think
they absolutely. They planned it out. And then he
I don't know about that.
Really? Then he studied the lyrics. I don't know. I have no problem with it because even Dominic Carter, he often says to me, are you sure you're not black, my friend? And I mean that at the highest compliment. And I do take it as a compliment. He means I have soul. He means I have flavor. But I have to wonder, what if if Tucker Carlson said, I'm black on the inside? People would be going nuts. You don't think so?
Well, I think it has to do probably with your pattern, your intentions, and what people really believe to be authentic about you. I mean, Chris Cuomo, he's buddies with Don Lemon, and they're clearly, they're friends, they're fast friends, they hang out. So you understand it. It's like you and I sitting together. We could probably forget that we're even on the air and we could talk about things and all of a sudden one of us would say something completely inappropriate that we wouldn't say publicly, but we are so comfortable with each other. So I feel like that was kind of a, you know, let it pass.
I know. Everybody should calm down. And I think there's nothing wrong with two friends joking with each other on the air. I'm black on the inside, better than him saying something else like perverted or whatever like that, you know. But my issue, right?
Wait, what?
What? My issue
Lydia.
Is they better remember this, that when somebody else says that and they don't say like,
I
know, they don't say, oh, well, how could they're co-opting my race? They're all, oh, you know, if somebody says, oh, I got some Latin flavor and then they're offended by it. That's
I
my
agree.
Thing.
But there were quite a few people that came out. Sister to Sister magazine, the managing editor said something like, black is not a costume, you know, and it's. I get it because there is sensitivity, there's racial sensitivity, but again, you got to look at the intent of the comment and you have to understand the guy was joking around. I mean, this is like
I agree.
It's like when I call my neighbors, we call them the Gabers. It's they're all gay and they come over and we love that and we're all best friends, but when somebody else hears it they're like, "Oh my God, how dare Juliet say that?" But it's it's a comfortable thing between friends.
Everybody is just so sensitive. They need to calm down. But I just want Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon to remember this.
You're right. No, you're right.
They better remember
you're
this.
Right.
So, and we do, we're going to start off our show in just a bit. And that Lydia Reports was sponsored by Benjamin Steakhouse. Benjamin Steakhouse, great heated outdoor dining and a spacious main dining room in Manhattan, as well as Westchester County. Chad Lopez, I'm still awaiting the text. Nope, no text yet. Surf and Turf, therefore, on Chad Lopez.
Do they have a Bronzino?
A Bronzino. Yes, they do.
I
have
do
great
love a good Bronzino.
There you go. So, Chad, are you listening, Mr. Lopez?
Yeah,
taste their sizzling prime porterhouse steak or fresh seafood selections for dine-in or delivery. I'll be calling out every time I do one of these reports of the guys that make a lot of money. For a dine-in or delivery, visit BenjaminSteakhouse.com.
This Saturday at 10 a.m.
Larry Kudlow is with us.
This band, by the way, guys, it's called Budos Band. They're from Staten Island.
Oh, wow.
Just instrumental, just funky. They've got the horns and everything. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. This is so good. So good.
I could see Governor Cuomo buffing his muscle car without his shirt on, maybe like in his nipple rings.
Oh, he does really not have nipple rings.
He does have
he
nipple
does
rings.
He not. Does not. That's
he
a
does. He's fallon? He's freaky. It's freaky. And he's rubbing the car, waxing it.
He's shammying it.
Yes, yes. Welcome. This is Lydia Serrani with the Juliet Huddy.
Hi, Liz.
Hey.
Always good to be with
Happy
you.
International Women's Day.
Thank you. How should we celebrate? What should we do? Are we doing something after the show?
I don't know. I'm with John Katzmitz. Well, from 4 to 6, I'm 4 to 5,
right.
I'm on my own. And then 5 to 6, I'm with John Katzmitzidis. But we also have a great guest all day long. We have a lot of guests today. We have Joan Hamburg coming up.
Yay.
We have Ladies What the F. We have Lauren Conlon. And we have Chief Juanita Holmes of the NYPD. So we've got a lot of great ladies that have just... can I say badass?
Yeah, of course.
Am I allowed to say badass?
Yeah. Come on,
yeah, they're
please.
Badass
afternoon.
Ladies. Absolutely.
I love the fact that we have all these different people from all these different walks of life. I think it's really cool. I'm excited, obviously excited to see Lauren Conlon and Joan Hamburg, who is a legend, clearly. Mm-hmm. But Juanita Holmes.
I specifically
badass,
asked for her. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
she comes from a line of powerful women, and just it's a remarkable career, and I am excited to talk to her.
You know what I've been doing? I've been driving, well, not driving her crazy, but probably, but I've only done it a couple of times, but Margot Katzmatidis, I sat with her a couple of weeks ago, really the first time we ever had a chance to talk, and we were talking about where he came from and stuff like that, and she has such a fascinating story, so I keep saying I would love to do a podcast with you. And she's, you know, she doesn't want to be in the spotlight. It's kind of not her thing. But I actually think she's got a cool story. She was a ballerina. There's all this interesting stuff about her. And, you know, hubby gets all the attention sometimes, but she's got her own wild backstory. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can like put in a good word. Help me out.
Well, behind every great man is an even greater woman.
That's so true.
It's 100.
Is that what Victor thinks?
Yeah. I don't know. He's pretty upset with me today because my daughter, she couldn't go to school because she has the sniffles. So we're juggling around her childcare today because the last time we sent her to school with sniffles, she's 4 years old, they banned her for a week. They are strict. Like even just the slightest sniffle, I sent her in, not coughing, not sneezing or anything. So this morning she woke up like, and I was like, uh-oh.
How do you know though that, like, I mean,
no, it just
the day before you're supposed to know that your kid's going to have the sniffles and then line up.
No, I have to thank God I have my mom. I have my mom or this Victor, my sister. It's like a juggle. My mother-in-law. It's like a juggle. Thank God here. Everybody at 77 WABC understands because usually I'm here at 8:00. Today I didn't get here till like 10:15 because
I know,
of the
Lydia, I know. The clock,
yeah. Time clock is ticking. Wow. I don't know, but we got a lot to talk about. So did you listen to King Cuomo?
I have been very much interested in this story and paying very close attention to it. But I, you know, what annoys me, honestly, is that I get the sexual misconduct story. I get that that is what is playing. That's like the top of the news. But the fact is that to me, I mean, the story that has the real legs and the story that we have the proof of is the nursing home story. And we were talking about this a little bit earlier. That needs to not go away. It cannot be, you know, enveloped by this sexual harassment stuff. These are two different things. People need to pay really close attention to this nursing home story. He cannot get away with this. I mean, to me, it doesn't, the sexual misconduct stuff is sort of like the cherry on top. He should be looked at immediately. Like, obviously there's an investigation, but this is really the main problem, I think, that we're dealing with him.
When you connect the dots, when you look at all the evidence, 15,000 people, they underreported it by almost 50%.
They went in and changed paperwork.
They changed the paperwork. Thank God for the state attorney general, Letitia James, for her investigation.
Absolutely.
Then we find out that he got about $2.3 million to his campaign fund at the height of the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And who were those donors, Juliet? Mm. We know they were the lobbying firms that represent these nursing homes. Then he snuck in this liability shield so they can't be for the nursing homes, for the executives, for the workers, so they can't be sued. They can't be charged criminally.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of all of that, he says, oh, you know what? The staff brought it in. But we know that they admitted 9,000 COVID positive patients from when the executive order was issued on March 25th until it was rescinded 47 days later.
Yeah.
And those people didn't even have to be tested.
The fact is that we here at WABC started talking about it early because of a caller to Mark Levin's show. And then we started picking up on it on this very show and other shows. And we were focusing on this. And I remember like it was yesterday, literally looking at the website for the state health department. And all of a sudden, the mandate's not there anymore. And it was like, well, isn't that interesting? All of a sudden, this mandate that you had sitting there that literally said, nursing homes, you must take these COVID infected patients. All of a sudden, it's MIA. It's gone. And then the guy has the nerve to start writing a book, like a self-aggrandizing, self-congratulatory book about how well he did handling COVID. Like, how dare him? During the COVID pandemic, it hadn't even ended. It's not like it's 3 years later. It's during the pandemic he's trying to crow about how great he was. And to me, that was an absolute intentional attempt to spin. To change the narrative so that everybody, people who don't actually pay attention to the news go, oh, look, he won an Emmy. Yeah. You know, and he, guess what? He got caught.
Right. And he won that Emmy. And if you remember, the celebrities were obsessed with him. Play clip 11 just to refresh your memory, everybody.
Congratulations, Andrew, on your much deserved Founders Award.
Governor Andrew Cuomo, you are the man. What?
Darkest days of the pandemic, your daily briefings live from New York gave us hope, gave us clarity, gave us the truth.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, look, if you're friends, like a lot of these people, they hang out, they go to social events together. Okay. But I mean, they look like idiots now saying this stuff.
Well, and they're being quiet about everything. I just want to play one last thing. So this was his apology. Play clip number 9.
I'm not going to resign. I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable. It was unintentional. And I truly and deeply apologize for it.
Well, that brings us to our question of
the day. Tears, by the way, are because he's like, oh, my God, I might lose my career.
Oh, no, that's
I'm not going to be the Attorney General of the United States, certainly.
He didn't win an Emmy for nothing. Now, that brings us to our question of the day on WABC Radio and all of our social media platforms. Do you believe Governor Cuomo is truly sorry for how he made those women feel? You can cast your vote on our website. The poll's options are yes, he sounded very sincere, or no, he's a politician.
I mean, I think you got your answer there. I can't imagine anybody voting for the former. But
I wonder who wrote that question. It was May.
Was it you?
It was May. So when we come back, I want to hear what you guys think too. Weigh in. We'll also have Joan Hamburg. Again, we have Juliet Huddy, Lydia Serrani. We'll be right back.
As Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, women belong in all places where decisions are being made. Today, 77 WABC is celebrating International Women's Day.
If I hear my voice one more time, I'm going to blow my brains out. I can't take it. It's been all day. This is like 4 o'clock in the morning.
You got it.
You know what band this is?
Why am I drawing a blank?
Bananarama? Yeah.
Come on, Lydia.
Guys,
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome back. This is Lydia Serrani with Juliet Huddy.
Hello.
And we will be taking your phone call shortly, 1-800-848-WABC. That number is 1-800-848-WABC. We're talking about Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, Chris Cuomo. But first...
And we will be talking about the Royals, too, which is, of course, my favorite subject. But first, I have to tell you, Lydia, from the time I walked into this building, well, not this building, it was the other building, but you know what I mean, the one person that I was so intimidated by, because they are a legend in this industry... It wasn't, Mark Levin, not Bernie and Sid. It's Joan Hamburg. I was embarrassed to even say hello. My name's Juliet. I'm a new employee here. I was so intimidated. Not that she made me feel intimidated. She didn't do anything, but I was so impressed by her because she's an icon in New York and really an icon in radio. And she's joining us right now on International Women's Day. Joan Hamburg. Hello, ma'am.
Hello there, ladies.
Well,
to you both, look at you two. Successful in radio, shows, talking to people all over the country. And that might not have happened many, many years ago.
That, yeah, that's true. And you can tell us a little bit more about that. When you got into radio, what was the scene like?
Well, when I got into radio, it was purely by accident. Many years ago, I wrote a book called New York on $5 a Day. And that book became, in spite of everything, a huge hit. And that's how radio started, because people kept calling me. I was writing for New York Magazine at the time, and people kept calling me to be a guest and to come on the air. And my break, if you want to call it a break, that wasn't in my dream list, you know, to be a radio personality. There was a guy who was a yellow screamer, not so much politics like we have today, mm-hmm. but let's lower the bills on heat. Let's lower groceries. It was local stuff. Mm-hmm. And he screamed and yelled, and he offended a lot of people. So my editors at New York Magazine called me and said, they're looking for a radio personality, a woman preferably, who doesn't yell and scream. We want you to audition for it. To everyone's shock, including mine, I got the job. And that was the start of what has become a really long career in this industry.
Absolutely. You're known as New York's first lady of radio. You were inducted into the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame in 2012. You're named New Yorker of the Year. But we just know you as Joan, who has, it seems like, the largest circle of friends ever. I mean, you've had Billy Crystal. I mean, name some of the high-profile celebrities you've had on your show.
Well, we've had Ben Stiller and Billy and Bryan Cranston. I mean, you name it. And we literally get almost everyone. But I've known so many of these people on and off over the years before they grew up to be. Martha Stewart, when she just had a little catering store in Connecticut, called me because she wanted me to mention her on the radio. And I was also starting out. And I remember hiring her to give my husband a birthday party. I said, you cater it. And she said, well, tell me about him. I said, well, you know, he never went to his high school prom. I forget why. She said, so let's give him a prom. And that's how I officially met Martha in the early years. So many of these people, we all came of age together.
Joan, really quick, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think we heard a dog perhaps howling or barking in the background. Did you ever think that you would be doing your show from, I would imagine, from your house? I mean, radio has changed so much. I mean, just dramatically, even in just the last year, obviously, because of COVID. I mean, and the things that people accept and the things that people think are normal are, it's just, I think people love the whole behind the scenes kind of sneak peek at people's lives. And that's one of the great things about radio is that it's a theater of the mind type of thing, but it's also, you can really be yourself. And it's why it's so different from television. I mean, television anchors they kind of have to hold themselves to a different standard. With radio, you can be yourself. People love to know like the personal stuff about us.
No, it's really true. And you know, though, when I started out and I was on the John Gambling show, and John Jr. had worked for ABC for many years, but I started out with his dad, whose own grandfather was a magician and a broadcaster. So they were part of the history of radio. And that family never came to work. I used to say, you can come in your pajamas, it's radio. But they never came to work without a tie, a suit, wonderfully dressed, you know, as if they were going to a formal dinner or a party every night. And radio was personal. People would say, tell me everything about you, or can I join you for dinner? With TV, they recognize you, but it's a little different. Radio, you're part of their extended family. You're part of what they may not have in their lives. Plus, we're all storytellers, and that's the secret of radio. If you can learn to write early on and tell a story, just as you said, We all want to hear the story. We want to know what you guys do when you go home. Where do you like to eat? What are you proud of? What are you afraid of? And also, the big story of all is, what do people want? Mm-hmm. What do they care about? You know, when I was a kid, I went to a lecture. We used to have meetings once a month where they would invite lecturers in to give us secrets of success. And I remember when the head of Sears Roebuck came in and he said, I know it's radio, but if you guys want to make it, you've got to do what we do. I tell my crew, every customer is my last customer. And you've got to do that in radio. You've got to say, every listener is my last listener. And treat them as that, with respect, and learn to listen, not only to talk.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what I love listening to you, Joan, is when you're cooking. I do. I love it when she's cooking. She was talking about this, I think it was like banana bread or something like that.
Oh,
and
my
it's
God.
Just, you make it so interesting even when you're cooking. I love it.
Well, we're all foodies, unfortunately. You know, people say, do you drink? I say, I do a little bit, but I'd rather eat.
Same here. Well, I wish I could join that bandwagon, but just kidding.
You know, we're not quarantined the way we were, but we were literally quarantined 3 meals a day. I have friends who never even knew they had a kitchen and are suddenly in there night and day thinking, isn't that our big common denominator? We couldn't see friends. We couldn't go to theater. So what do? We ate. And that was our big excitement.
Do you have, whenever anybody, I'm sure, Lydia, you probably get this too, when you're hanging out with friends or family or reunion, whatever, people will say, what's that one story or that one moment in your professional life? Because we have cool jobs and we've covered things, we've interviewed people. We're very lucky in that. If you could say, there's that one moment, that one event, that one interview that just you will never forget. It changed you. It meant something it was so salient to you. Could you name one?
You know, and you're right. We get that. All of us get that question all the time. Who was the best? And then I think, well, the Clintons, whether you like them or didn't like them, were great interviews. Mm. You know, they really loved it. And I have had famous actors on who literally you'd ask them a question and they couldn't answer, you know. Mm. And I remember Arlene Francis had a famous actor and kept asking him questions. She was on the air when I was there. She was one of my early mentors. And this guy, a big star, she would say, so tell me about your latest movie. And there was dead air. All right. You've remarried. Isn't this wife number three? Dead air. And she had a producer who would give her all the questions. Now she ran out of questions and she was hysterical. So she turned to this guy and she said, oh, for God's sakes, put your hands in your pocket and grab hold of yourself. And with that, the guy was so stunned that he suddenly started to talk. So we have had Frank Sinatra. We have had presidents, first ladies, and I tell you the truth, I can't think of one. It was actually Arlene Francis that changed my life, because when I was still at Barnett College and I had written New York on $5 a day, she called me up to come on the air with her. And truthfully, I hadn't thought about radio. I wanted to be an actress, you know, with a big capital A.
Oh.
And I was Off-Broadway Theater Company. And she called me up to come on the air and talk about the book and all that. And I thought, wow, this is really something. And then, of course, when I was writing for New York Magazine and they insisted I audition for the Angry Broadcasters radio show because they were always being sued from him. That's how it happened. I didn't have a life plan. I'm curious, both of you, you said when I grow up, I want to do radio or TV, or it just happened?
I grew up, I wanted to be a news reporter. I was, you know, obsessed with news. How about you, Julie?
I wanted to be a TV journalist because my father was a TV producer. So it was sort of, it was in my blood and I was around all those people. So that was,
I wanted to be like a writer. I said either a TV news journalist or like a novelist. I was all into about that. Because I was very shy. Believe it or not, I was shy.
Oh, come on.
I was shy. Do you know in kindergarten, I was so shy. Because English wasn't my first language. It was Albanian. And so I was like too scared to even ask the teacher to go to the bathroom and I peed my pants.
Oh, oh, little lids, little baby lids.
Yeah.
Joan, you mentioned that you wanted to be an actress. That was your thing. So, and you've become, I mean, you're known for your interviews with actors. So do you have that regret that you never went into the acting realm as an actual actor and you were doing the interviews?
You know, I went to the neighborhood playhouse when I was a kid. I really wanted it. However, when I got out of school, I can't tell you how many audition lines I went on. And, you know, for a musical, I'd wait on the line. I'd finally get to there. And the jaded piano player smoking, which everyone did in those days, like an ad, the cigarette hanging from his or her lips. And he'd say, bored as can be, you know, with all these hopeful kids. Key, key. I never had a key. So I had no clue even how to audition for the musicals. And then I kept writing and writing more and more books. And this came along. I was doing radio and TV, which I have done consistently throughout my career. And I always said, I want to do one show, mm-hmm. one-woman show, celebrating Radio Days, D-A-Z-E. In fact, Alan Alda said to me, you do it, I'll direct you. But I've never gotten to do that. I've done a lot of things in my life.
Oh, well, I think it's time.
Yes.
Joan, it's time. By the way, I need to talk with you about Neighborhood Playhouse because my mother went there.
You're kidding.
No. No, she was there probably early 60s, I want to say. But we'll talk about this off the air.
Okay.
I didn't know that. Oh, it's such a pleasure to speak with you. It is. You are an icon. Our idol. Yeah.
A living legend.
How does it feel to be a living legend? It's got to be pretty nice, huh?
it sort of feels nice. But to me, when, you know, I was coming of age and you'd say, meet the legend blank, that was like someone who had one foot in.
Nah. So,
you have to adjust.
No. That's a wonderful thing.
You guys know it's about loving what you do. It's about writing. It's about reinventing yourself all the time. And it's about going for it and understanding that even if it doesn't work in the beginning, don't ever give it up. It's there waiting for you.
Amen, sister. Amen. Joan Hamburg, thank you. We love you. And I can't wait to see you in person again. We got to talk about Neighborhood Playhouse.
Thank you so much, Joan Hamburg. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more about Cuomo. And then guess who else is canceled?
What?
Pepe Le Pew. We'll be right back.
Are you picking these songs? Because this is great music selection.
You're in the house of chaos.
This is like high school to me, my friend. Bridge at midnight. Oh, yeah. I actually asked Mr. Katzmatidis if I could do an 80s music hour on the weekend.
You should.
Oh, my God. That's a great idea.
I was just thinking about that. I was saying Saturday night 80s.
I so want to. Oh, God, it would be the greatest thing ever.
It would be. Absolutely. It would be fantastic.
You don't sound very enthusiastic about that, Lydia Serrani.
No, I'm down. I just don't remember the 80s. I was a baby.
Oh, be quiet.
No, I was.
Oh, brother.
I'm just joking. But I love the 80s. I remember when I scrunched my socks into my jeans, remember?
Did you?
And I used to wear the hairspray and all that.
Did you
get to
have all the bangles, like the Madonna bangles?
Yes, yes. I interviewed Madonna once.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. And this was, I guess, before she really messed up her face. But she was drop dead gorgeous in person.
Wow, when was this? What year?
This was when I was working at Fox. And it was a red carpet thing. And they were like, Lydia, why don't you go? And I was like, all right. And then I interviewed her. And she stood there and she was talking to me. And yeah, she's
wow.
a beautiful skin.
Wow.
Beautiful, luminous.
Well,
but I love me some Madonna, so we'll play that next. We do have the phone calls. I did call for them before, so let's go to David from Brooklyn.
David?
Hi, Juliet. Hi, Lydia. Juliet, I used to, I missed you so much on the Curtis show. I was really mad when they shunted you over. I thought it was a nefarious move, but I'm glad to hear you back at least today. I used to call you on the rapid fire and gently chide you about different things, including your rock star husband, and you would get mad at me. I really miss you. I hope Johnny Boy's doing all right.
Yes.
The music is going to come back soon, I hope.
It will. I pray it will. David, you're so sweet. You
know, thank you. I'm one of the... I fit the profile of an ABC listener, except I'm a never-Trump, a MAGA hater. So the only thing that was keeping me there was Curtis. And now that he's on hiatus, I hope he runs for mayor. I hope he wins. But I can't take it. I can't take Mascara Rudy or...
Okay. We'll keep it to the... We'll do the happy stuff today, David. But thank you for your love and support.
Let's go to Teddy from Yonkers. Teddy, you're live with Lydia and Juliet.
Hi, Lydia, Juliet. How you doing? Juliet, I miss you tremendously. And the thing that I miss about you is your objectivity. Okay? Unfortunately, many of the hosts are not objective. It's just all right wing, promo this, promo that. And I just, I can't take it. I just miss you, Juliet. You're so objective. But, Ms. Sarai, I'd like to ask you a question. Okay? We're talking about Cuomo, and now it's Megan, as if some of the things that she said are completely false. There is no credibility in what the hosts say about Meghan Markle. Can you explain that?
I haven't heard any hosts on WABC.
Yeah,
this is Juliet. Sorry. I don't know what they were saying about Meghan Markle. I haven't really heard any of that. I mean, I was saying that I thought she was pretty credible, and I'm the biggest monarchy fanatic on the planet. But I don't.
I think he's just an angry guy. I think he sounds pretty angry. That guy, Teddy.
Well, but I think his point was that if you're going to say, a woman is saying something about, some entity, we want to believe her. But he's saying that people who are, I don't know, I'm not sure.
Let's go to Brian from Orange County.
Good afternoon, ladies.
Hi, Brian.
So you were talking about Cuomo before, and I just wanted to harp on the bandwagon a little bit. And my question to you is, how do you think or why do you think he keeps getting elected?
Because he's the prototypical politician. I think he's super powerful. I think he's an egomaniac like most politicians. He's a smooth talker. I think that's part of it. And I wouldn't be surprised if he goes for a fourth term unless he goes to jail.
Well, we know how he thinks about himself. We know about his ego.
But why do you, think, you think people vote for him?
I mean, I'm 51 years old. I've lived in New York my entire life. So Cuomo has really made a meat shop or a butcher shop out of this whole COVID thing. And he's used his aides and other various people in his administration to cover up an all-out lie and put false information on documents to cover his own rear end. Why isn't the federal government investigating it? Why are we leaving it up to the politicians in New York to investigate a pathological liar?
Well, I think, to
be
honest,
they are
investigating.
The Brooklyn Attorney General's office
is investigating. Yeah, but he's saying, the feds. But I agree with you. But by the same token, I think that it has been sort of a jaw-dropping turn of events that the Democrats of New York, who had been clearly that had been like the beaten wife, so scared to say anything about Cuomo, King Cuomo, now they're all going, oh, okay. Oh, boy. They're all jumping on the bandwagon because this guy was a thug. He was a bad dude, and he clearly wasn't a good guy to get along with, and he was using his power. But I think the reason that people voted for him was because, you're right, Lydia, he's a smooth talker. But also, I think people are comfortable with what they're familiar with. And when you have the scion, the dad, then the son, there's almost a comfort. I mean, he's a jerky dude, but he's our jerky dude. You know,
and he talks,
I think there's
like
a little
Yorker
bit of that
too. He talks like a New Yorker.
Well, he talks so slowly. I literally, it's almost as annoying as my own voice when I hear these International Women's Day thing all day. But the slow talking. But you're right. There's no way to me, especially with the Democrats on board, that this guy can even possibly think about running for another term. I think that he should be resigning. I mean, I think take away the sexual misconduct stuff. The guy engaged in a cover up. It's outrageous. People died because of him. Period.
I couldn't agree more. And that directive, when it was issued by the CDC, it was guidance. They thought at that point, that was at the height of the pandemic, that the hospitals would be overrun in 5 days. So that's why they were saying readmit the COVID positive patients. Mm-hmm. But then you had Florida's Governor DeSantis. He said, you know what? Some of this doesn't make sense. And then we also know there was the USNS Comfort that stayed empty.
Exactly.
The Javits Center. You had the Central Park hospital tents.
And we said this every day on
our
shows.
Empty?
Why are they empty? There are people standing there twiddling their thumbs playing, backgammon and waiting for sick people to come in. Why were they not sent in? And all you can say is it had to be money. Follow the money.
Right. COVID positive patients, they could charge twice as much. And yes, they were guaranteed paying customers. And meanwhile, at the height of the pandemic, you were coming in every single day. Mm-hmm. We were scared for our lives as well. But this is what we do for a living, right? Mm-hmm. You have to keep coming in. Yeah. We're considered essential workers. And we were getting all of those phone calls from people, right? From the nursing home saying, I can't get in touch with my loved one. They were banging on the doors.
Oh,
and
God.
And they were dying. People were dying in their beds, gasping for air.
If this was my mom, thank God it wasn't. But if my mom died in a New York nursing home during this whole situation, I mean, I messaged Janice Dean recently. I was like, I respect you because I would be probably on Cuomo's doorstep losing my mind. Like losing it. She's handled herself very well with this. I don't know that I could, because this guy is responsible.
And meanwhile, the one guy who finally stood up to King Cuomo was Ron Kim, a state assemblyman from Queens. You know, he came to America when he was only 7 years old, and I give him so much credit. The fact that of everybody, and now everybody's piling on. It's so easy, de Blasio and this one
but
and that
Boylan,
one.
Lindsey Boylan came out. She was the one who was really the early one.
Yeah,
she really came out.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so we'll be talking more about King Cuomo, and then we got to talk about the royals.
Oh,
we gotta
my
talk
the God.
Juliet's favorite. Absolutely. Lydia Serrani, Juliet Huddy will be right back.
Today, 77 WABC is celebrating International Women's Day, recognizing the powerful women of 77 WABC, the business world, and tremendous efforts by women shaping a more equal future. 77 WABC is celebrating International Women's Day.
Nice voice, Lydia.
Wow. Come on, we've been karaoke.
I know, but I have a terrible voice. Oh, you're even doing the vibrato. Look at you.
Okay, anyway. Oh, I need diamond rings.
18 karat gold.
Okay, this actually could last the entire rest of the show, frankly. But
well, we got some breaking news.
Oh,
breaking news! WABC.
Pepe Le Pew.
Oh, what?
Pepe Le Pew, that Looney Tunes character is canceled. A new Deadline report explains that the Looney Tunes character has been written out of a movie, Space Jams. Yes,
Sacre bleu.
You know Space Jam, the movie with Michael Jordan?
From your pillow to the shadow.
Word is that Pepe scene has been axed entirely in the final cut of the film.
What did the Pew do?
Because what did he do? Pepe Le Pew, they don't like
when
he's
a very flirtatious
man. He's very flirtatious and he sniffs women.
He's a skunk, right?
So this movie, Space Jam, it's supposed to debut this summer. And according to folks who have seen a screening of the movie per Deadline, they say there's no trace of Pepe anywhere.
Are they concerned that he's going to come to life and be a real skunk and go around sniffing other skunk ladies?
Pepe Le Pew. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What's the big deal? I mean, he likes to sniff people. Doesn't Biden like to sniff people, too?
Oh, stop that.
Are they worried? Girl, skunk.
He's a skunk. Didn't he have a girlfriend or something?
A young man.
Maybe it was an infidel type of thing.
He married her. That he's an infidel. He liked to sniff another female skunk, and he ended up marrying her. That's how he mates.
And that's what skunks do.
They stink.
Yeah,
and they stink.
Yeah,
but remember, all about she was a cat.
Is she a cat?
She's a cat. She's not a skunk.
Oh, cross, so this whole cross pollination.
She would always either just like, she would get herself painted because she would either go underneath like a
That's right. Oh. How do you know this stuff? You're way too young to know this stuff.
Oh, I'm so, Saturday mornings was Looney Tunes at 11 o'clock with my dad.
You're
so
all
now
about
she's
Pepe Le Pew.
Pepe Le Pew's canceled. Dr. Seuss is canceled. Those 6 books are canceled. Everything's offensive, Juliet, aren't you? Don't you understand?
I'm disgusted with all of you. I don't know. I'm not really sure how a skunk, an animated skunk who speaks with a French accent are people concerned that he's going to encourage children to sniff each other? Is it a racist thing? Like an anti-French thing?
I don't know. And
there's no explanation.
Mr. Potato Head can't be a Mr. Has to be gender neutral.
Well, because they don't want to make so many potato. They would just slow down on the potato.
I have a Mr. Potato Head at home. Hint, hint, it's not a man. There's nothing there. So, I mean, it's called Mr. Potato Head. It's just so, I know everybody's criticizing. They're saying, like, the right, all they care about is Mr. Potato Head. But it's not about Mr. Potato Head. It's not about Pepe Le Pew or Dr. Seuss at the end of the day. It's about everybody being too woke and too sensitive. Let's focus on the things that are truly offensive, like sexual inappropriateness and harassment.
Well, I agree with you.
People dying in nursing homes.
I agree with you. By the same token, and you know I agree with you because I'm the first one to call Cuomo out, but there is a lot of criticism of the right that, well, look at our president, our former president, who was accused by myriad women. Why are we focusing so much on Governor Cuomo when it's like 5 compared to 26. I mean, these are the conversations that you have at your dinner table and everybody starts fighting about and you don't talk to each other anymore. But they're reasonable questions. I mean, are we going to hold our own accountable before we attack our opponents? And I think that that's my mantra. It's become my mantra. Hold each other accountable.
Absolutely.
First.
My thing is I've been saying this about Cuomo. I don't like the guy. These allegations need to be fully investigated. They need to be fully investigated. However, here's where my big issue with Cuomo is. He is a hypocrite because this is what he said regarding Kavanaugh and what he said about Trump. And, you know, where is the, there's like a total double standard, I feel like. Play clip number 10.
There is a disrespect for women that this administration chronically exemplifies. After the Me Too movement, they did absolutely nothing when it came to sexual harassment. They have always diminished the charges of women. Always. Consistent.
Those words are coming back to haunt him. But look, I mean, I don't disagree with him, but he's also suggesting that these women shouldn't be believed. So, yes, of course he's a hypocrite, but it comes from both sides. And I think, again, it's important for us to call our own out before we call out and condemn the opponent, because otherwise you're a hypocrite.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, you lose your credibility.
I don't think it should matter what side of the aisle you're on.
Absolutely
not. It shouldn't matter if you like them or you don't. Keep the personal feelings aside. Investigate and call them out. Allegations are allegations. They should be fully investigated. I don't care if I love you or I loathe you. They should be fully investigated. And speaking of believe her or don't believe her, we got to talk about Meghan Markle.
Well,
the Duchess.
Yeah. The interview, I actually thought, I'm glad I didn't tweet this out, even though I'm admitting it now, because I was convinced that this was going to be a whole lot of nothing. I thought that this was going to be basically them using all the attention that they were going to get and all the promotion and all the PR and all the, oh, what are they going to say? I thought that they were going to start to talk about their future and what they're going to be doing, you know, charitable wise. I didn't think that they were going to go after the monarchy. And I certainly didn't think that they were going to go after them in a way where they were basically saying the monarchy is racist and we were treated like garbage and we were discriminated against, and bringing up my child's, the color of my child's skin. I mean, there are some really ugly accusations.
That was outrageous. Play clip 16.
In those months when I was pregnant, all around the same time, so we have in tandem the conversation of he won't be given security, he's not going to be given a title, and also concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be when he's born.
What?
And
who is having that conversation with you? What?
So,
there is a conversation. Hold up, hold up.
There's
stop
several
right now.
There are several conversations.
There's a conversation with you,
with Harry,
about how dark your baby is going to be,
potentially, and what that would mean or look like.
Ooh.
Mm. First of all, they will not say who this person was. My guess is it was Prince Philip, the Queen's husband.
I think it
99 years old.
I think it was William to Harry.
It could be. But I just, William seems a little bit more with it. I mean, I think that he understands Meghan Markle's a light-skinned woman. And
I think he cares more about appearances.
But he's not a stupid guy. I mean, he has to know she's a light-skinned woman, you know, mating with a ginger. So they're not going to have a dark-skinned baby.
It doesn't matter. I mean, that if that conversation was held, that's absolutely disgusting.
Oh, no, 100%. That's my point, though. But I wonder, it's like,
it had to be somebody really close to Harry to have the guts to say something
like that. I think, I'm telling you, I feel like just everything that I know and all the things that I've studied about the monarchy and even the current monarchy, I feel like it would be Prince Philip because he is 99 years old. He is from a different generation where this kind of talk was perhaps acceptable to your family members. It sounded like she was alluding to the fact that it was a conversation that this person had with Harry, not
right.
her.
Right.
Which,
because she would have went crazy.
Well, I mean, and you wouldn't want to say that because you would know it would be a
right,
hurtful
right,
thing,
absolutely.
But you want to be open with your family member. That is just, Prince Philip has been known to say some pretty outrageous things, very off color things. I mean, this wouldn't be the first time. I mean, some of the things that came out of this, that was one of the worst, if not the worst. But then the other headline was that she said it was getting so bad, the abuse and the toxicity, that she felt like she wanted to kill herself. I mean, this is a woman who is telling billions of people, presumably watching around the world, I was going to kill myself. I was in that much pain. And to me, that showed me that that lended credibility to me.
Well, when we come back, you are going to hear Meghan Markle's own words regarding her mental state. And you'll also hear why I think Harry is a prince among men.
Mm.
I think he is a remarkable man, and you'll hear why
Aww. When
we come back.
I met her, Pat Benatar. Didn't like her very much. She was kind of bitchy.
This isn't my favorite Pat Benatar song, though.
I like Heartbreaker. That's a good song. She's got great
Heartbreaker,
songs.
Heartbreaker.
Dream Maker.
You want to hear a laugh behind my childhood? So growing up, my mom used to play some Pat. And if we were being bad, she would play Hell is for Children and tell us, this is what happens if you don't help mommy clean the house.
Whoa.
Yeah, because
wow.
We would be jumping up and down, acting up. We were bad, but it was the 80s.
I like Love is a Battlefield.
Ah, great album.
Yeah, Love is a Battlefield.
Love is...
Okay.
It's a little...
So speaking of Love is a Battlefield. Meghan Markle, she talks about wanting to kill herself. I mean, she had thoughts of suicide, and it's like, what?
I spoke with Inez Rosales, our girlfriend from Fox 5, earlier today, and she was saying, yes... And she was saying that same thing with you. She kind of has a hard time feeling sorry for Meghan Markle. I go, but think about it. You go into this world where you've got this fairy tale happening, but all of a sudden everybody around you is kind of disgusted and looking down on you because you're mixed race or you're a divorcee or you're American. That's a big headline.
Older
there.
Than him, too.
Older, you know, Hollywood.
But she's in
they
her late
like
30s.
That.
She's in her late 30s, and she's acting like she didn't know what it was about. She didn't know about Diana. Come on.
No, she knew.
She said she didn't
she
Google
She said she
him.
Didn't Google. Well, why would you have to Google him? You know, everybody knows about Harry. I mean, everybody knows who he is. Like,
I know you Googled your husband.
Of 100%.
Of
like
course.
In 2 seconds
everybody
I
does.
Did.
Of course. I Googled my husband. I found him first on LinkedIn. You
oh,
know?
Look at you.
Yeah, I Googled
tart.
Him and this and that. Of course, I had to investigate, and she didn't even Google him to see who he's dated prior.
But why would you have to Google him when you know who he is and you know you're about to go on a date with him? I mean, look, I get what you're saying, but I think that everybody's forgetting this is a woman who's going into this very insular, very protective, very real, and very serious world where you're literally the people that wake up in the morning that are related to this family have one thing on their mind, duty. D-U-T-Y. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it's not, oh, I can't wait to meet the love of my life. It's duty. I am committed to this country or this empire or commonwealth, whatever you, and on top of that, she's dealing with her father and her half sister who's screwing her over, you know, all this, she was going through a lot of stuff and we can sit there and go, yeah, she's rich and she's got her prince. And but I mean, at the end of the day, don't we all say, well, love is really what conquers all and money is not everything. And she was, you know, she was going to bed at night with massive anxiety and waking up with heart, you know, her heart was like clenched and she was just feeling devastated.
Well,
so,
I mean, to hear her say that she had thoughts of suicide, play clip 17.
I just didn't see a solution. I would sit up at night and I was just like, I don't understand how all of this is being churned out. And again, I wasn't seeing it, but it's almost worse when you feel it through the expression of my mom or my friends or them calling me crying, just like, Meg, they're not protecting you. And I realized that it was all happening just because I was breathing. Mm. And look, I was really ashamed to say it at the time and ashamed to have to admit it to Harry, especially because I know how much loss he suffered.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that if I didn't say it, that I would do it. And I just didn't want to be alive anymore. And that was a very clear and real and frightening constant thought.
That's horrifying. And what I think made me feel that this was very credible and very, and it was compelling was that she clearly loves her husband. I mean, this is her life. This is her family. And she mentioned her husband. She put him and his feelings ahead of hers for that moment, thinking, I'm scared to tell him because this guy's lost his mom when he was a little kid and has gone through all of this. And I've just come in here and now I'm falling apart so quickly. So that made me just think she seemed really,
genuine?
Yeah, she did.
Well, yeah. I mean, the fact that she says she didn't realize just how much pressure there would be, that would, to me, either, I guess you would say she's naive then, or ignorant, because, I mean, we know Princess Diana. Why did she die? They were fleeing the paparazzi, remember, with the mm-hmm. high-speed chase, and my God, if anybody was hounded, it was Princess Diana, and she was so beloved by everybody.
But she wasn't, though, because she was beloved by the country, but
right.
She was being destroyed every day by the British press and by, you know, the men
well,
in the gray suits and the firm.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was that. It adds up. I mean, she's Meghan Markle is clearly a strong woman, but I mean, she's not an automaton. She obviously has feelings and she obviously hurts like all of us. And again, on top of that, her father is abandoning her and doing all these crazy things. And as somebody who has that situation with my dad, I know it wrecks you. You're in agony. And then she's got the rest of her family, you know, coming down on her. So it was a lot. I have to watch the whole thing because I've only seen long clips, but I was blown away. I couldn't believe how
Harry
open
is a man
were.
Among men.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
He's a man among men. He is a prince of all princes. The fact that this guy put his family, his little family first before anything else. I'm sure she came to him in the middle of the night and said, honey, I'm depressed. And he said, you know what? F this.
Mm-hmm.
F all of this.
He always kind of wanted to. He always was.
Yeah.
There's one writer who has followed him over the years and has established a relationship and a rapport with him. And she has come out many times, you know, myriad times over the last couple of years and said he never wanted this life. He always wanted to be away from it, especially because he was number two. I mean, he was the spare.
But the fact that he said, you know what, even to his family, you know what, if this is what's best for you, being closer to your mom, going to California, if this is what will make you happy, you are my wife. You are, I mean, I'm sure this discussion was had even before she became pregnant with Archie. The fact that he just said to his family, I choose her. I want to make her happy when I chose her to be my wife. This is what I'm doing. A lot of guys would not do that.
Oh, absolutely not. But it's also a double-edged sword because it's interesting when you look at the coverage, particularly in the UK, but even here, everybody's focused on her. It's her. She is the demon. She's the monster. She's the bitch. She's the, yeah. And the fact is, he's the one that's leaving the family, but everybody blames her. Like he's like
always.
He's some dork who has no, you know, no self-control.
It's always the wife's fault.
And
it's
that's what
always.
They did to Diana too. And I think there's definitely misogyny in there, you know, rolled into that as well.
There is pervasive misogyny.
Can I just do a little promotion for tomorrow's early news with
Absolutely.
Frank Morano? We have Ahmed Scobie. He is the author of Finding Freedom. That's the book, the sort of unofficial, unauthorized biography of Meghan and Harry that came out about, I don't know, 6 months ago. So he'll be joining us tomorrow morning at 5:30, which I'm thrilled about because I was supposed to be doing the interview earlier today and he canceled and I was not happy. But this is, I mean, maybe I'll be best friends with him and we'll be able to hang out with Meg.
Oh,
and Harry.
You know.
I always think about how it'll benefit me.
Madam, you're looking at the headlines now. It says Markle, Prince Harry accused British royal family of racism. I mean, that's a serious charge. It is unbelievable that that conversation was held. But I still think it was Prince William. That's my guess. Because it was somebody super close to him that had the gall to say something like that. Like, aren't you worried about just how dark your child will come
out?
Well,
we know that Prince
which
William,
is gross.
We know that Prince William had said to him, you know, you might want to slow this down, to which Harry flipped out. And we've heard that story. And that, you know, that actually is mentioned in the Finding Freedom book. He was extremely hurt because he thought, well, wait a second. What? I'm not going to take 10 years to date this woman like William did.
No, we're taking her after the break. So, but we do have to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to have Chief Juanita Holmes.
I'm so excited about this.
For the NYPD. She is the top number one female cop in all of the NYPD, the most diverse police force in probably the world. Forget about the country, in the world.
And what a position you have. I mean, I'm so curious about what her family thinks about this.
Well, wow. She comes from a very long line of law enforcement officers, of powerful, strong women. When we come back, NYPD Chief Juanita Holmes.
Oh. So we're getting into the 21st century here. This is
you know,
the weekend? It sounds 80s.
No, it's the weekend.
Really? Oh my God. This is out of the 80s.
I literally said it. I said it's aha in reverse.
Absolutely, yeah.
I said he's like the modern day Michael Jackson, and I got cursed out from our listeners because he is really good.
I really don't know much about him.
I say Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie? Huh?
Listen deep into his music.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, this is good. Oh, yeah. I love a little pop music to bring in the...
Well, with us now is Chief of Patrol of the NYPD, Chief Juanita Holmes. In her position, she manages about 22,000 cops in New York City. Can you imagine being like the boss of 22,000 cops? Talk about
I can't
badass.
Imagine being the boss of 22 people.
She is
much less.
She is the epitome. Is that offensive? Is that offensive, Chief Juanita Holmes? You're a badass.
So happy Women's International Day to Juliet and Lydia. Thank you. And thank you for having me today.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for being here.
They asked us, all of us, who did we want to talk to, like powerful women. And I said, Juanita Holmes, you look at your background and you come from a long line of strong women. Tell us about it.
Yes, so I do. And as we know, at one given time, there were five of us, five siblings, all girls. That were part of NYPD. I since had two that retired. I had one sister that's a year and a half younger than I am. So I have a total of six sisters and six brothers.
Wow. Whoa.
So, yes.
Oh, man.
A huge family. And all the girls were really in law enforcement. One brother was corrections, a bail enforcer. But the majority of girls were at NYPD.
Why? How did you guys get into NYPD? What was the impetus there?
So my sister's boyfriend, who she happened to be dating at that time, convinced her to take the exam. He was a former Marine, and he asked her to take the exam, and she joined. And I was still in college, and I remember speaking with both of them when they came home, and just the excitement they were met with. No, Jay was the same, and just the mere fact of them being able to help individuals. It was just sound very interesting to me, and it just seemed like a very good thing to do, and that quickly changed my idea of what I wanted to do for a living. Science was my major back then. I really wanted to do something in the medical field, still helping people. But then this job, watching them grow in their role, I was convinced to take the exam, and subsequently did, and came on a year and a half post my sister.
Wow. And tell me about your mom. I can imagine your mom must be one really strong woman.
So my mom was. She passed away 3 years ago, unfortunately. But she was. And you know what was funny? I wanted to join the Air Force, believe it or not. Mm. And my mother was like, oh, no, it's too dangerous, but I can join the police department. Go figure, right?
But at least you're close to home, I guess.
Absolutely, absolutely. But no, my mother, very, very strong woman, there's a saying in the Bible, you can tell a person by their fruit, which is their children. And my mother, very fortunate, all of us to be still here and thriving. So just a good, good person, very disciplined, very structured, and she drove us. She was the driving force behind us.
You've been in the NYPD for a long time now, and I would imagine there are women who come up to you and say, is this a good time to get into the NYPD? I mean, we're constantly talking about, and not specific with the NYPD, but just in general, women out in the workforce, sexual harassment, discrimination, things like that. What would you say to women? What do you say to women when they express an interest, and what are the key points that you make to them? Well, you have to be this or this or this.
Well, no, I just tell them, listen, just being a woman speaks volumes. You know, I just did a conference, I guess we do these virtual conferences. So it was our women's conference today for NYPD. And someone spoke about how the question that they presented was, how do I market myself, you know, my experience to show that I'm good in a particular area, to get a particular position on this job? Outside of my gender. Mm-hmm. So I said, what? Your gender is the whole part of it. It's the whole makeup. You know, we've had police commissioners, past and present, that speak to the women in this department. We bring a different perspective. You see a bigger balance a lot of times where we operate a lot of times where we're able to de-escalate. And a man may be a little bit more aggressive in nature because, that's built off a different chemistry. With that, you know, just being a woman is marketing in itself. And now is the time, more than ever. I encourage people to take this. I don't refer to it as a job. I always refer to it as a career.
A calling.
And I always say, you know, you can take away from this whatever it is that you want to take away from. I've been very blessed to be recognized because there are a lot of great leaders in this department that just may not have the opportunity of being in this position. I say different people, different blessings. So this was my blessing, and I'm very appreciative, and I recognize it as such. But this is the time, more than ever, to take a leadership role. The good thing about NYPD, you're a leader the minute you come into this department. So that's what I love. You're operating out there in the community, especially in the Patrol Service Bureau, you looked at as being the NYPD because you are out there to boots on the ground helping people every day.
back in the day, you know, in the 70s, the police department didn't necessarily represent the people of New York. Now, when you look at the NYPD, you see your face. You see women. You see people of color. And it is the most diverse police department, I would say, in the world. And as an African-American woman as well, it's incredible what you have achieved. And so many girls, women, everybody can look up to you as an incredible role model.
Yes, thank you. You know, it's funny because I just come to work to do a job and I've been recognized for doing that. But you don't realize until, you know, someone's informing me. I don't have social media platforms, but I do for work. And some of the things that are said on social media, how many people are actually so proud of me that I don't even know. Just people in this. And believe it or not, you know, nationally, internationally, I've gotten messages and emails from people in Germany, Australia. It's amazing that you don't even realize that this was a big moment for myself, but a big moment for the people of the city and a big moment for NYPD as well.
You said something. You said something so cool just a couple minutes ago. You said being a woman is marketing in itself. I'm going to steal that line from you because that is really good. I really like that.
Yes, it's true. It's so true. It's so true. And I think my job is to just convince a lot of women of that very statement. So,
well, I want to know a little bit more about you personally. And maybe, I mean, if you don't want to express too much of your personal self just because of your position, I get it. But what are your passions in life? Besides the NYPD and besides your obviously gigantic family? I can't even imagine how many kids and grandkids and are running around.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. I lose count with my nieces and nephews, but I think we're somewhere in the 40s. It's unreal, but it's a lot. And, you know, I'm blessed. I have a beautiful daughter and son. My son's currently on the job. My daughter's an engineer with Long Island Railroad, which is a local transportation hub here in New York City. And she gave me my very first grandson, who's 2 years old, Mason Emery. I love him to death. And so that's my passion in running. I love running. Unfortunately, haven't done a lot of it with this position. And I love decorating, believe it or not.
Oh, same thing. Interior decorating?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, wow, I have a passion. I'll knock down a wall in a minute, you know.
I like to direct people to knock down the wall. I don't like the dust, but I get it. You're a lot tougher than I am.
Chief Holmes, again, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Chief Juanita Holmes of the NYPD. I heard you say you have a son and a daughter. A lot of people don't realize that you used to be that in order to have a career, you couldn't be a mom. They were like mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. It had to pick one or the other. So the fact how it couldn't have been easy to rise to the ranks where you are today and also be a mom at home, because people don't realize it's another job. Once you get home, job number two starts, and they're both full time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, you're spot on with that, because my daughter was 5 months old when I joined the department.
Wow.
5 months old. And, you know, when I tell that story, people are like, wow, but it's balance. It's balance. And one thing my mother taught me was balance, because, you know, I'm the second oldest girl. So I played Cinderella for a long time, helping raising my brothers and sisters and helping them with their homework and taking them to doctor's appointments. So I learned at a very young age of how to balance and how important it was to be structured. And that really allowed me to be able to manage, you know, a lot of different roles in this department. So, but it's doable. It's doable. We women, we multitask. Yes, it's in our nature. It just comes natural for us.
Yes, we
you
do.
Know? It just comes natural for us. Sometimes I'll have one of my male counterparts here, and he says, you know, he'll pause. I said, go ahead. I hear you. He says, oh, but you were looking at that. I said, I do 10 things at once.
That's right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I said, I do 10 things at once. Just don't give me number 11. You know?
I think women who have had children probably are a lot better at that than women like me who have not, because I still am trying to. I'm 51 years old and I'm still trying to learn how to multitask. But Bernie and Sid in the morning, our morning show, they were asking, they were having women on as well to celebrate International Women's Day. And they were both asking at the end of everybody's interview, advice that you would give to women, and you kind of just touched on that a little bit with sort of learning to how to balance, but for me, I say reading and travel. Read as much as you can get your hands on, and traveling, and open yourself up to different cultures and societies and thoughts. That has changed me markedly. What would you say would be your advice to women, young women who are coming up into the world?
Well, I agree with you totally. Reading, another one of my passions, I'm glad you mentioned it. I traveled the world. I left this job for about a year, and believe me, the amount of traveling I did was really just amazing. India, Brazil, you know, all over. And it really gave me a different perspective in life, but it also causes growth. I always say that, you know, it reading gives you a diverse background of a lot of things just in that capacity of itself. And diversity always allows you to grow. And I think it's important to grow. Otherwise, you're stagnant. So I agree with everything that you said. In addition to believe, you know, and I think that's the strongest. You know, we can get knocked down and met with so many roadblocks, and people want you to think there's this drawing of what a woman should be, and, you know, whether that's baking and sewing or whatever it is. But just believe in yourself and pursue your passion, you know, pursue your dreams and be passionate about it.
Can you give me an example? Because when somebody says believe in yourself, it's like, yeah, okay, believe it. But tell me how you have done that in your life or your career. Give me a hardcore example so that women that are out there listening, maybe younger women, maybe women who are just going through troublesome times, can understand in a more, you know, a more concrete way.
Right. So I came into a agency that is male dominated and pretty much still male dominated. It's 80% men. You know, women account for 18% in the uniform capacity and 68% on the civilian side.
Oh.
And you really have to believe in yourself. And there's times where I've been the only woman, the only minority in the room, and people say, you know, you were the only woman or the only minority. And, you know, I never felt it. And I think that's just me having confidence in myself and what I bring to the table. And I think it's important to be at the table, have a voice, but more importantly, ensure that you're heard. And that all comes from me just believing in myself and what it is that I can do and bring to that particular table. So.
Well, that's incredible, Chief. I know she's an incredible woman. Thank you so much. And thank you for everything you are doing for this city, Chief Juanita Holmes, and for New Yorkers, for Americans, and for all women everywhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Thank
Being
you
a so woman much. Is marketing in itself.
That's 100%.
That's right.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. When we come back, we have a lot more to talk about. Oh, yes, we do. You want to stay tuned. It's Lydia Serrano and Juliet Huddy when we come
this
back.
This hour sponsored by Dell Technologies. Dell's semi-annual sale for business has arrived. Enjoy specials on Dell docks, monitors, and servers, plus up to 45% off the latest Dell business computers powered by Intel Core processors. Call 877-ASK-DELL to speak with a Dell Technologies advisor.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, donate your car today. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, visit us online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that's Cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, donate your car today.
Also accepting real estate donations.
Today, 77 WABC is celebrating International Women's Day, recognizing the powerful women of 77 WABC, the business world, and tremendous efforts by women shaping a more equal future. 77 WABC is celebrating International Women's Day.
This is Mary J. My girl from Yonkers. You know, she's from the...
This is you are the best DJ board op ever.
I try.
You're really good.
I'm a music head, so I'm all about the music, right, Mary?
Let's get it, Uncle.
Welcome. Pass over my Tito's and club.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yes. Yes, girl. Yes.
Oh, God.
Wasn't that incredible, Chief Juanita Holmes?
And yeah, she's cool.
She's cool. The fact that she said she would go into a room and not even realize that she was the only female or maybe the only person of color because she didn't care. What? She just focused on the job. And that's what I would love, too. If people didn't even look at you and say, I've said that to people. Don't look at me as a female. Mm-hmm. Don't look at me. I'm one of you guys. I'm one of the guys.
I think it's training people to change their mindset because, you know, this is a new world that we're living in. I mean, the last 10 years, 5 years even has just, it's sort of like this 180 that we've done where women are standing up and saying, and on this International Women's Day, we're saying, yeah, we are equal, guys. I mean, we've been around here for a long time. You know, we kind of do the same job. So just stop looking at us as these little damsels. We're not damsels. We're your equals.
Absolutely. And that's why I understand with the women that accuse Cuomo of impropriety, you know, that they're saying he calls sweetheart and the kissing of the hands. And you wouldn't do that to a guy, would you, Cuomo?
Here's the thing about that. I have always called people sweetie. I will call friends. I'll call my family. I'll call colleagues. Oh, no, thanks, sweetie. And I'm trying to train myself to stop saying that because I'll see Meanie, you know, who does board op in the morning for Bernie and said, oh, thanks, sweetie, you know, or Christian, thanks, sweetie. And I have to remind myself, this is not, you don't do that anymore. It's hard to get yourself out of that mindset. And I'm not being flirtatious. It's just, I'll call a guy sweet. I'll call a girl sweet. I mean, it's just, and so I think sometimes we have to be,
I know.
We have to be a little bit understanding, but we also have to hold people.
And it's also being human. You know, we have a.
Exactly.
One of the marketing, I don't know. She's one of the marketing employees here. I don't know what her actual official title is, but she's adorable. She is so adorable with how she dresses, how smart she is. And I said to her once, oh my God, you're so adorable. And then afterwards, I'm like, oh God, I hope she wasn't offended. But I look at her almost like in a motherly type of way because I could be her mother. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was like a teen mom or something because she looks young too.
Nice of you to point that part
exactly.
out.
Exactly. If I was a teen mom or a preteen mom or whatever, you know what I'm saying. but anyway, and I'm like, God, you do have to be careful. Yeah. But she is so adorable. But I think Cuomo, it wasn't coming from a good place. Like we
well,
were talking about
exactly.
Chris Cuomo. It's not, he came from a good place when he was joking around about the good times. And I'm not a fan of Chris Cuomo's, mm-hmm. but I can't, I'm not going to pile on the guy because I don't like him because of what he said.
Well,
I'm not going to say he's a racist.
Yeah.
You
these are great examples for us to be able to talk about this kind of stuff and go, oh, you know what? Sometimes we can be a little bit quick to jump on somebody because we just don't like them. They're politically not
right.
You know, in line with us. And so we're quick to just ignore all the things we've said about other people and go after them. And it's like, we're all human beings here. Let's try to give,
we're all imperfect.
Some thought.
And you calling somebody sweetheart is probably a lot different, just a little bit, than Governor Cuomo saying that. He's
well,
the governor. He is the governor. He should be holding him. And now everybody's coming out and saying what a bully he is and this
well,
and that.
And I think that's why so many people are jumping on the bandwagon. But I mean, listen, if you were out at a, let's say that you're single, Lydia. Lydia is the original Lydia, not Sarani. What was your last?
Weak guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're Lydia Weak Guy. And you're out at a wedding and you meet a gentleman who's 10 years older than you, and you're talking to him, and he's single, and he's like, you know, puts his arm on you or something mm-hmm. like that. Would you look at him the same way that this woman who accused him of doing that at a wedding is looking at him?
He's the governor, so he's the most powerful lawmaker in the state,
but
you
she's
know?
But she was a guest at a wedding, and he's a single.
I just
guy
looked at him as a creepy old guy. It's gross. It's just absolutely gross. Like, but I do see, and you see the look of fear in her face. Like, it was like she was freaked out. And I've been at weddings, and I was single, and creepy old guys have hit on me. But would I say it's sexual harassment? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say it's sexual harassment. I'm sorry. I don't want to be offensive. I wouldn't say it's sexual harassment.
That was my point, though.
I don't think it's sexual harassment. Is it being a creepy old guy? Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
but is it worth to be in the New York Times? No. But then again, he's the governor.
That's the point. So it's like just because of his position, it's, you know,
it's magnified.
Yes. And you add on the other things about him that we're coming to find out, the bullying, the lying, the covering up, but all these other things, it's this crystallization and they're all conflating and they're painting a picture of a guy who's not such a good guy.
Right. He's not a good guy. I mean, we've heard about this predatory behavior about him. He's a womanizer. Clearly he's got, you know, he's not a good person. He's not a good person. At the end of the day, he's not a good person. Based on all the evidence, if you look at all together, all conclusively together, mm-hmm. you know, walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it's a freaking duck.
But isn't it sad that it's not just Cuomo? I mean, it's his aides, his close,
absolutely.
His cadre.
And it's not just him either. And it's not just a Democrat. Either.
No,
let's be clear.
Exactly. And it's also that the health department, I mean,
exactly.
Certain
Zucker.
Members of that, yeah, they were complicit in this. I mean, wow, this is just, it's really ugly to see politics works.
Zucker's a doctor. How could he not sound the alarm and say, this does not make any sense? You have said not to put elderly people with underlying conditions in a congregate setting, and that's exactly what we're doing.
And you had, and this is referring to Governor Cuomo, and you said from day one, I remember John and I were driving home from Newport, right as everything was closing the first time, he said, I will take responsibility. I'm not going to do everything right. I will mess up, but I will take responsibility. And I was really impressed by that, and it didn't happen. He not only didn't take responsibility, he was nefarious. I love that word. It's
nefarious.
A great word.
I want to play a little clip for you. Play clip five. This is from May of 2020. Listen to what Governor Cuomo said about his mom. And
if I were advising a friend, I would say you have a vulnerable person. Best to keep them at home and not put them in a congregate facility. Keep them in a situation where you have the most control. That is the blunt truth. That's what I would do with my mother.
Okay.
That's what he would do with his own mother. He said, keep them out of a congregate setting
because he knew he was sending people.
No, I mean, nobody could. I honestly can't imagine he's a ghoul. Like he's an evil ghoul that he knew these people were going to die and he wanted them to die.
But Lydia,
I kind of think though that he thought they were going to die anyway. And why not make some money?
Well, again, that's
what I think.
Yeah. So then he's a ghoul.
He is a ghoul. Yeah. Okay.
That's another
great
word.
He's a ghoul.
He's a nefarious ghoul.
He's a ghoul. I think because remember at the height of the pandemic, people were like, oh my God, COVID, if you get it, remember we were wearing the gloves.
Mm-hmm.
People were wearing gas masks at my grocery store.
Yes, absolutely.
And my husband, when we'd come home, we'd take off all our clothes.
Oh, we would immediately jump in the shower. Yeah.
We were, fearing for our lives. We weren't putting, and I think we thought if you're 80, you have underlying conditions, those are the perfect.
Again, my mom is 77. She's in great shape. She's not in a nursing home today. If this happened to my mom, if she died because she was at a nursing home and this man sent people in knowing that it was the wrong thing to do. And he did it because he wanted to gain a little bit of money. And if there was this whole, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Mm-hmm.
I literally, it would be hard to control me. I mean, I have a lot of rage in me right now.
You?
From childhood. And yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, it would be really hard to control
Absolutely.
Me. I have to watch what I say because I don't want to, you know, the FBI coming over here arresting me. But I can't even imagine.
I can't even imagine.
Janice Deans, I mean, her to it.
And then to make it things worse, putting salt on the wound, vinegar, alcohol, whatever you want to call it, on top of all of it, they died alone, the family members, mm-hmm. in these nursing homes. They get that horrific phone call. And then in order to bury them, they couldn't even have like mm-hmm. a church service.
Oh, those.
They just had a couple of people around the gravesite. It was absolutely horrific. This is a human issue. This
right.
is not a New York, an
100%.
American human issue.
And the fact is that people probably died that wouldn't have died anytime soon.
Absolutely.
Because of his mismanagement.
And they didn't deserve to die that way, alone, scared, gasping for air. It's a horrific way to die from COVID.
Yeah.
It's just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's horrific. Let's take some phone calls, shall
we? Let's
go
to Joel from Manhattan. He's been on hold for a while. Are you still there, Joel?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about that. I was on the speaker waiting
for
my turn. How are you doing? I hope you both would be on either this slot while Curtis Leva is away. And then, of course, there'll be another opening. As you know, John Batchelor is leaving. So somebody has to take over that spot. You two could take that spot, for example.
Well, you need to make some phone calls, Joel. You need to make some phone calls.
Well, Greg Kelly is actually taking the slot from 1 to 3 p.m. I think he's starting tomorrow.
I believe so,
He's starting tomorrow. I just saw him before. He's walking around. We know Greg very well. We worked with him at Fox 5, and he is boisterous. Boisterous. Isn't that a good word for
That's
him?
That's a good word.
He's very
for him.
Animated. He's very energetic, and he sure does tell it like it is.
He does not edit himself.
No.
At all.
At all.
Which makes him a great radio host.
I mean,
that is just kindling for the radio fire.
Absolutely. And he just tells it like it is. He's like the true New Yorker, and it'll be exciting, and it's going to be a wild ride. You want to tune in. Greg Kelly from 1 to 3 p.m. And I know Dominic Carter will be filling in for the rest of the week from 12:15 until 1 p.m.
But I think that we would have a great show together, Lydia.
Absolutely. We are, of course, doing a great show. Girl power. Girl power all the way. Let's go. Who do we want to go to? Let's go to Vinny. Vinny from Brooklyn.
Hello, ladies. Hello.
Hey, Vinny.
Hello.
Well, could I say goddesses? Would that be too offensive?
No. Kidding me? Goddesses.
Goddesses.
I'll take it.
Ah, oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I just want to say that I think life is an amazing play. It's a purification process. We're all being purified of this insidious ego that everybody has. It separates us. It makes us feel different, less than, more than others. It keeps us in ignorance of who we are. We're identified with something we're really not. And this ego, say Cuomo, he got exposed.
Mm-hmm.
He got exposed and he apologized. I felt his insincere embarrassment, which I think in the long run is good for him.
Mm.
He'll be a better person for it. Like the rest of us, when our ego gets exposed, we see our foolish ways, like in me, like in both of you ladies. And once it's exposed, we actually become freer and more purer and more real.
Well, he may be free because he may be kicked out of office.
Well, Vinny,
who knows?
Vinny's a better man than me because I think Cuomo is not free of ego. I think that was an act. I don't think he's sorry. I don't think he's sincere. And his ego will be his downfall. Hubris. Remember Dr. Faustus? What is it? Faustus? Remember that book? It'll come to me. Hubris. Remember the word hubris?
Yes.
Hubris. That's what it reminds me of with him. It's just... he's incapable of seeing anything wrong with anything he's done.
Well, his behavior,
he's angry.
Who he is really coming to light. If you believe the people that have been surrounding him that have been speaking out lately,
he is so angry.
We've got Lauren Conlon coming up, our girl, our entertainment queen.
Absolutely, we'll be right back.
Today, 77 WABC is celebrating International Women's Day, recognizing the powerful women of 77 WABC, the business world, and tremendous efforts by women shaping a more equal future. 77 WABC is celebrating International Women's Day.
I mean, I remember this so well, literally when it came out on MTV, and I thought it was the greatest song I'd ever heard. And now, like my voice, I want to blow my brains out every time I hear it. I can't take it anymore.
But it's Cindy.
I know. It doesn't matter.
You
I like
play
time
no
after time.
How about No Doubt? Play that.
Oh,
No Doubt.
Yes.
Yeah, play No Doubt.
Those are my people.
I'm just girl.
Lauren Conlon.
Hello.
I'd like to ask you why you're sitting there so seductively with your
sweater
off your shoulder.
Sexy shoulder.
Look at this.
I don't know.
What's happening here?
I was just going for the casual look today, and I'm serving up some shoulder.
Oh, my God.
What do you guys think of that?
Clearly, did you take a picture of her? You need to
take
this.
I'm going to take another closer up one of her.
I mean... Watch out, boys.
You know, I'm a big fan of shoulder. I think that shoulder is sexier than cleavage, don't you? Like clavicle?
Sure. I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I say that because I have no cleavage.
Wait. The picture
I just took of her. Your mouth is wide open.
Now you may not want to post that one.
Oh my gosh,
okay,
that's
so
a bad one.
Yep. Welcome back, everybody.
Eating the microphone.
By
that's
the way,
cool.
It's Juliette Huddy, Lydia Serrani, and our newest addition, Lauren Conlin, who does our entertainment. She's so lovely.
Thank you.
So who do you thank for getting you in here? Is it Lydia?
Oh my gosh.
Is it Frank?
You guys, this is a point of contention. This is like a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
Where,
really?
Yes. Where basically Sid's like, I got you in, right? You know it was me, right?
He says he got me in, and I'm like, no, Juliet got me in.
I was like, well, it really was a combination of like Frank, Lydia, Sid, everybody. Everybody.
But if you had a gun
it.
To your head right now and you had to choose who you are thankful for,
I would leave and I would go home.
Oh,
so,
well, all right.
Here's where it happened. This is exactly what happened. Frank Morano brought her on, obviously, and we met.
Yes.
And then we went out to lunch together, and she told me how she gets her husband to do the housework.
Yes. You guys can use your imagination.
Okay.
Yes,
and
go ahead.
Wait, huh? What do you mean, use your imagination?
I mean, like, there are things.
Is the housework
men are kind of simple creatures sometimes, and it doesn't take much to say, hey, maybe you could make the bed and let me do something for you in return. Yeah.
Oh, look at the little sexy shoulder girls getting all saucy.
So that's what we have to do with our husbands, us three married, old married ladies. And right then and there, I said, this girl, she could hang. She can hang with
very
one
funny.
Of us. You know,
yeah.
She can hang with one
well,
of us.
Well, something else, Lydia, we bonded over is Lydia's like, you know, I'm feeling really guilty right now with the pandemic. You know, my daughter on the iPad. I'm like, oh, I don't feel guilty. I never feel guilty with my kids on the iPad. So you shouldn't feel guilty. It was like, you know what I mean? You just need someone to tell you, like, don't feel bad. It's fine. It's all fine.
You know what's great about you, Lauren Conlin, is that you are like, what is it called? Catnip for radio because you are extremely open, which
I'm pretty open.
Lydia's that way too.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to be that way on radio because you have a lot of time to talk. And I think it's because people can't see you, they need to feel a little bit more connected to you. And I think being
who you are, being
open about your life is one of the ways you can effectively do that.
Yeah. People can tell when you're being disingenuous and you're a genuine person. And so I have my Lydia reports on the Bernie and Sid show, and then I have them in the afternoon, and then we were in a meeting, and then I said, oh, hey, wouldn't it be great if we had an entertainment report? And then they were discussing who would it be, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, what about Lauren? Oh, yeah, what about Lauren? So Frank brought her in, and then I helped get the report, I guess. It was that idea.
Well, you, Lydia, you also set up the meeting. And then Sid, I really don't want to leave Sid out because Sid saw me in the lobby, though. And he said, oh, well, why don't you come on Friday? And I was like, well, if it's okay with you, I definitely
will
do that.
So it was a complex combination of wonderfulness by your colleagues.
It was. And that's why I said, gun to my head, I'm going home. I cannot say.
Like, she's
going
to say me because she knows I would kick everybody's butt.
If
there was a fight between me, Frank Morano, and Sid, who would win?
I mean, I feel like Sid, obviously.
No, it would be me.
I don't know. I mean,
it would be me.
Are you proud about that?
I would.
You and Sid would definitely go head to head. Frank is not. He's a lover, not a fighter. Clearly, Frank Morano. But
he's a sweetheart. Yeah, he's just like a big teddy bear. He's like Teddy Ruxpin.
But you know, I could see you and Sid like going eye to eye. Yeah. Like
I could see you biting, like you would just go for the jugular. Like
you guys.
Yeah, I could, but it's not about us. It's about you, Lauren Conlin.
No.
On this International Women's Day,
it's about all of us today. We get one whole day, you guys. This is so great.
I know.
One day for us.
Mother's Day doesn't count.
Yeah. No.
But can you just tell us because we've started to become good buddies too. But I really don't know a lot about your childhood, your growing up. Where did you grow up?
So I'm from New Hampshire.
Oh, are you?
Yes, I am a product of New Hampshire, the 603, and I moved to Manhattan to pursue theater. I was a theater major, musical theater. I know, I'm a cartoon.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So I came to New York, and I was obviously one of many, many girls that wanted to dance and act and sing on Broadway. And I got here and I started training and I was like, you know what? This isn't for me. Theater people are incredibly annoying in New York City. I really was not into it. I don't know. It was a place of refuge, in high school where you had your weird friends and you got to be on stage and do what you loved. And here it became a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. So I switched my major to journalism and communications. And, I had a few internships at CBS and Fox 5 and I really, I did. Yeah. The local affiliates.
Yeah.
And I had a great time and I did entertainment there. And I said, you know, this is something I think I was really born to do. I really love it. So unfortunately, after graduating, I could not find a job, that would allow me to live in the city, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and pay my bills and everything.
You and everyone else.
Yeah. So working in TV, I had to babysit. I had to work at a restaurant. And I was like, you know what? I don't love this life right now. So I chose to go into a different field of advertising. Mm-hmm. So I was in advertising for actually about almost 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm very tardy to the party with my entertainment career.
I got to tell you. I mean, yeah. Not really, because you're at the, you know, the number one talk station in the number one market.
And
in
I'm
radio,
incredibly, so. I'm incredibly proud, but like I said, I am tardy to the party. And it was after I had my kids in 2016 that I really was like, you know what? Life is too short and I don't want to be in this field anymore when I should be doing something that I love and that I really, really, truly feel that I was born to do no matter what. So while I'm still new, I feel like, and I'm still, you know, making my footprint and making my way, I do feel like I'm going to be around for a long time. So everybody just better get used to my voice.
I was talking, I interviewed earlier Tony Orlando's agent, Susan.
Yeah.
Mineo, and then we just talked to Chief Juanita Holmes, and then we talked to Joan Hamburg, and
wow.
All three of them said the same exact thing. And what we have been saying is find something you love, make
yes.
it your passion, and then it's not work. And it sounds trite, right? But it's not.
It's
because you truly, I truly enjoy what I do for a living, and I do
yes.
feel like I'm making a difference in this world.
100%. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And that's where I was, where it's like, if I'm going to spend time away from my kids, away from my husband,
and I
want to make, you know, I want to make a difference, and I, you know, I want to make some money. And I also, again, I want to do what I love. This was it for me. And I was like, and now I'm enjoying myself so much, and it doesn't feel like work.
But you also still are involved with theater, because I know it
yes.
weirdly, you're close friends with Meryl.
Yes.
And
Steve Forbes' editor.
Yes.
Her name is Meryl Vaughn. Yeah. She's
yeah,
a good friend of ours.
She's one of my mom's best friends.
I know.
Like this whole weird crazy.
And Meryl and I have been doing theater together
yeah.
Over at St. Bart's Church in Midtown
right.
for the last, you know, 8 years.
My mom has gone to a bunch of her shows. I'm sure she's seen
And
you.
I've been in many shows with Meryl. So your mom has probably seen me back
That's
in the day.
So crazy.
I mean, I haven't done a show since, you know, I've had kids really, but, or it's been, you know, quite some time. But yeah, I do. I love theater, but right now where my heart is at, it's really just entertainment and podcasting and doing interviews and just bringing everybody the scoop on pop culture, but understanding that not everybody wants to hear about this, right? I always want to hone my delivery and work on just that in general, because I get it. Not everybody here gives a crap
well,
about
this,
Harry and Meghan, right?
No, well, that's true, but
yeah.
you can do it in a way where you make it interesting.
Yes,
you know?
That is what I'm going for. That's something I got to work on.
So we'll talk more about Harry and Meghan then when we come back. Because we do have to go to
yes.
break. Got to get the bills paid. We'll be right back. They were the one of the opening acts.
Take this pink ribbon off my eyes.
Lydia.
Then it's no big surprise.
You guys are killing me.
Don't you think I know exactly where I stand?
That's the best part.
This world is forcing me to hold your hand.
I'm just gonna do it.
I'm just a girl.
You guys wait. Who sings this?
This is No Doubt.
No, I know.
This
so
is
let's
the beautiful
keep
Gwen
it
Stefani.
That way. Oh, okay.
You fell for
By
it.
By the way, I would just like to say that I was one of the OG No Doubt fans. I used to see them perform at UCSB, Santa Barbara, in the early 90s.
That's awesome.
Before they
I'm a fan.
Who they are.
So
yes.
when her and Tony were still together messing
yes.
around.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. And she was so amazing. I remember going yeah. to with my boyfriend at the time and I was like, God, they're good.
Yeah. She's
incredible.
Fantastic.
I saw mm-hmm. them at Jones Beach. It was Goo Goo Dolls, No
oh.
Doubt, and then Bush.
Oh,
wow.
Oh,
wow.
Oh,
it was that show.
Oh, my God.
And it was when they fell in love. And I remember being in the mosh pit. I took my dad's minivan, packed up all my friends. This was like, I was a senior in high school. We packed
yeah.
up all my friends and I had never been, I was like the, you know, Clueless.
Totally.
You know, the movie.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're like, just a virgin who can't drive.
Yeah.
That whole
I was
part.
Like, oh
yeah.
my God. Everybody, I thought I was going to die. We're on like the LIE.
Wait, how old were you?
I was like 17.
Oh, okay.
And I'm in the car and I thought I was going to die. And, you know, we all got there and then we get into the mosh pit with No Doubt. with this. Because remember, that's when there was like mosh pits and people, yeah. and I thought I was going to die. And I remember some guy like picked me up. But
you guys were so much cooler than me. I was literally at NSYNC concerts and like Backstreet Boys concerts. No, that's
I mean. I was at those too.
Okay, well, good. I was going to say.
I was at a.
Yeah, way cooler.
I was at a New Kids on the Block concert not too long ago, actually.
All right.
Not too long ago.
What? Oh, wow.
The one at the Prue? With the circuit?
At MSG.
Oh, well.
I have the Backstreet Boys,
one of my best friends.
The Backstreet Boys, when they came back a few years ago, they were at Jones Beach, and it was one of the best shows I've ever seen because they were so humbled by the fact that they were older, not boys anymore, they were men, and they weren't dancing as well. You know, they gained some weight.
Don't you
but they
look
were very
at them though?
Cute.
And I look at some of the NSYNC members, and I'm like, I used to be obsessed with you, and you have zero sex appeal. What was wrong with me? You like Joey Fatone. I mean, I totally respect him. He's doing great things with his life, but he looks like he manages an Applebee's. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just am like, I literally had you like you took up prime real estate on my wall in my bedroom.
My cousin manages an Applebee's.
I mean, and that's totally fine. But he wasn't like an international superstar at one point. And that's my point.
Fatone.
No.
Okay, so maybe not Joey Fatone, but like look at them now. They're
I like
really...
Jordan Knight.
Oh, he do you remember his
Jordan
solo
Knight.
Career?
Is that he alive?
Baby, you
Did he
know
die?
That'll give it to you. That one. Yeah, that was so good.
Hot.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, so do
so
you
hot.
Have a nice voice? You must have a nice voice.
I mean, I used to.
Can you do a little show tune for us?
I refuse, actually.
Why?
Because it's so awkward.
Oh, that is so ridiculous.
It is. I can't.
She needs alcohol.
She needs alcohol. At somebody. Yes. Thank you, Lydia.
Turn away from us.
If you give me a bottle of whiskey right here and I take a couple shots, I will do it for you. Or actually tequila.
Is Dan Herschel listening? Dan Herschel, there has to be a bottle of something somewhere to give to Lauren Conlin right now.
Yeah,
Dan
and then if I get
Herschel,
that, then I'll get some confidence.
You have been summoned to Studio A.
You really wouldn't.
No, it's too embarrassing.
But you get up on stage. I don't know.
I know, but different. It just reminds me of like just being younger and like having your parents be like, "All right, sing for everybody at a family function," and you're like, "I can't. Like, it's too weird. Oh, I don't know."
All right. Well, let's get a little bit more into the background of one Lauren Conlin.
Oh gosh, you don't have to do that.
No,
you know
what I love about Lauren? She's always happy.
Oh.
She's always upbeat.
Aww.
And
yeah.
she comes in,
that's
it's like
really
a
nice.
Ray of sunshine, and I want to kill somebody, and I'm like, oh, this guy, that. And she comes in and she's like, hey, what's going on, everybody?
So I think it's just my face and my voice, because I just want to make it clear that I'm not like super happy all the time. I really think it's just like my eyes are just like that.
When was the last time you got mad? At somebody that's not a family member.
Oh, that's not a family? Like a husband? Or that's family?
No, well, I would imagine you're in your
family.
I
don't family. Know that's, yeah. Oh, I don't really, I guess that's funny. I don't really get mad at like people outside my family, I guess.
Do you drive?
I mean, sometimes.
Do you have road rage ever?
I'm usually white knuckling the steering wheel, hoping that nobody hits me because I'm such a bad driver. Not to be a stereotypical, you know.
I cut people off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not great. So, but no, that's very funny.
We're getting a lot of phone calls now. If you guys want to pick up the phone because they want to probably talk to, see this, you know what's so great about us being in here? There's all three guys in there and three girls in here and I'm telling them what to do.
I love that, Lydia.
I love telling men what to do.
The boss bee.
Yep.
I love it.
We're on it.
Listen to me.
All right. Well, so we will take some phone calls. But so you're back. So you're here now at WABC. You're doing the entertainment stuff.
Yes.
You're going to be on Frank Morano's show.
Yes. So I'm doing a segment with Frank Morano Tuesdays at 4:30 a.m. Lucky me.
Live. Well, I'm here at 4:30.
So I don't think I can bring myself to drag my sorry bum out of bed.
No, there's no reason to come here.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to do it from home. And then I'm doing Bernie and Sid on Fridays, which is great at 9:25. That's a great time. Yes. So I am enjoying both. I'm having a great time with both hosts. And, I'm looking forward to just really, you know, having my podcast live here and just doing more.
So you've achieved achieved a lot of success, especially being tardy to the party, as you say. If you had to give advice to young women coming up who want to be you, what would you say?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I guess timing really is everything. You know, I probably would have been very frustrated at age 21 if I would have heard myself and I would have said, you know what? Nothing's really going to happen for you until you're 36 years old. I would have been like, oh man, that really stinks. And now I'm just very frustrated. But, yeah, I guess. Patience and timing. And that sounds dumb though. I'd be annoyed if someone told me that. So, but it's true.
You know, it's funny. Somebody said to me the other day, they're like, oh, did you always know you wanted to be a talk show host? And I said, I'm a talk show host. And then yeah. I was like, oh wow, I'm a talk show host. Okay. I literally fell into this. Mm-hmm. I came in to be Deb Valentine's backup because you brought me in. Mm-hmm. Juliet brought me in to do like the news person yeah. because I was the serious news person. And then I was having a meeting with Dave Labrosi, who's our program director here. And he's like, you would make a great talk show host. And then I said, what? Me? Why? Really? And then that's how it started. And then remember I did the tryout with you. And then it just wow. kind of, but, and then I realized it. I'm like, I was born to do this. This yes. is what I want to do.
Yeah.
This is, and I never even knew this is what I wanted to do. And this is what I wanted to do. It was like how Chief Juanita Holmes was saying, it's destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And Susan, mm-hmm. everyone, every powerful woman I've been talking to today from you guys, it's like, it was like meant to be. And sometimes yes. you just have to let go.
Yeah, you have to not think of everything, every obstacle that and challenge that comes up and everything that derails you as a crisis, because it could be that beginning of the next step and phase of your life that's going to be the happiest time of your life, which I will say that has happened to me. I've never yeah. been happier in my life for
that's
many reasons.
So nice,
but,
though.
But,
oh,
but
my gosh.
It's true. That's a great piece of advice to young women. I mean, because you've been through some crazy stuff, Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
I've been through yeah. some crazy stuff I don't know about.
Yeah. And you think your career is over.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
think it's done, this and that. And then, mm-hmm. boom. And now I can't even picture myself standing in front and doing a story about a pothole anymore. You know? Or going to
right.
Penn Station and trying yeah. to find a coherent homeless person
right.
anymore. And now I'm telling real stories and
yeah.
I have more than a minute and a half.
But I remember
to do it.
That's
you
it.
Would text
That's a good
me.
Point.
Lydia would text me and she was getting so depressed. And it's like, Lydia, you just be patient. Just wait. That great
yeah.
advice that you just gave. But it's like, you just don't know what's
I
around
felt
the
so
corner.
So defeated.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
of
it was
course. God's way, honestly, of telling me or whatever power or whatever to say, this is not for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guiding you down the right path. Sometimes you do have to take a step back in order to go forward. And that's what happened, I feel like, with
that's a good
me.
Point.
And now I can't imagine doing anything else.
But it's easy for us to
yeah.
say because we were able to come out on top and we are so happy. But it's, again,
yeah.
it's easy for us to say, but it happens. This is what happens.
Well,
life is
I
not
don't
easy.
Know if I'm quite there yet. I'm not quite like you guys yet. I have a lot of work to do. So I'm still in that position where I don't feel like I can give solid advice yet. Do you know what I'm saying?
I am going to make a bold prediction right now.
Mm-hmm.
You are the next Joan Hamburg.
That is so nice. Thank you for saying that. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I would. Those are very big shoes to fill.
I know
wow,
she's an icon. I know. But
she
you
is.
Could,
that's,
you,
that's, I don't even know what to say.
You could, be the next, yeah. you could be the next Joan Hamburg.
Well, thank you.
That's what
very
I
kind.
Said that to her. I when I met her, I said, you could be the next. And that's the most important thing is women supporting other women
yes.
and uplifting
yeah.
each other. Because we have to stick together because
yeah.
it's still a man's world. You know,
yeah.
it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You got to deal with it. And so
on this International Women's Day, it's very true. It's very easy to be clawy and combative with each other. But I always found we all have our own
yeah.
niche. We all have our own thing, you know, that we bring to the table. And if we help each other, it is so much more rewarding personally. But it's the whole karma thing. It's the whole paying it forward thing. And I believe in that. I really
do. And
not
giving yeah. into the stereotype, because it's the stereotype like, oh, the women, they're jealous of each other. Rare. You know how
yeah.
many times I've
no,
had
totally.
A guy say to me, rare.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like, so annoying. I don't know though. You know what I get? This is really stupid. I get this a lot on the street. And it actually infuriates me when a woman who might be a little older, if I'm like pushing my stroller, right? And I get to a stoplight and I look at my phone for 1 second, like 1 second, and I put it down. And this it's literally happened to me twice, where like an older lady will be like, why don't you get off your phone and
oh,
pay attention to your kid?
Are you
yeah.
serious?
Or pay attention so your kid doesn't get like hit by a car. I'm like, lady, we're at a stoplight. I looked at my phone for 1 second.
Oh.
And I find myself like shaking when that happens because I don't exactly know what to say to them in that moment. I have nothing like coherent that I want to say that's going to come out like polite or
what
or
would
even
we say.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like well,
I know
Lydia,
what I would
mean,
say.
Yeah,
you know what
are,
I would say.
But I literally find myself shaking. And plus, like, my son son, my youngest is two now, so he can kind of understand stuff. I don't want him to think that, like, you know, mommy's really hostile. But, like, dude, mind your own business, lady. I'm allowed to look at my phone for 1 second. Why,
it's like when I get negative comments online, they're usually from women.
Oh,
yes. Women are, right?
Isn't that terrible?
It's terrible. Yeah. There's this one woman that comes after me sometimes, and she actually says she's a producer for one of the shows here. I won't say her name. I won't, but for one of the paid programming shows.
But she's not, is she?
No, she is.
Oh,
I think I know who this
and
is.
And she comes at me all
the
time.
Wait, what does she say to you?
She just is like, oh, you're not too bright, are you?
Oh my God, are you serious?
Absolutely. So I just write her back, you must be really proud of yourself, and thank you so much for being so uplifting.
Oh my gosh.
You know, but it's just like, and if I did say something stupid, which maybe I have, or something ignorant, why not direct message me and say, hey, Lydia, FYI, this or that, to like help me, you know, because she's a little old, she's older than me, mm-hmm. but instead it's like trying to put me on blast and be negative. And that's not how women should support each other.
No, definitely
not. And especially in this industry that we're in, which is so male dominated.
Yeah.
If anything, if you were to make a mistake, if I make a mistake, I would hope you would tell me to help me and not put me down.
You know, it's so true. And we've talked about this, and I've said this many times before, because we have vaginas, we think everything's our fault. Like, it's so annoying. I always find myself, can I not say that? Can I not say the vagina? Sorry, I said it again. Are we allowed to say that?
I got in trouble for saying
it's a body
crap.
Part.
Sorry,
no, it's
okay.
a body part.
All right,
why
just
would
kidding.
You not be able
but
to say that?
But vagina.
Yeah. Okay. So
it's a body part.
You. Because we have that, we always.
We're in trouble. Dave Labrosi is right now. He's
it is
running
a
down
no,
the
body
hallway.
Part. No, it is
no,
a. It
not,
is
you're not running
because
down the
we have one. I find myself thinking that everything is my fault. I if I bump into a man on the street, I'm the first one to apologize. Oh, sorry. Excuse me.
Sorry.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why didn't you say excuse me or sorry?
Never.
We both bumped into each other. I don't understand. So
I don't know.
And never say you're emotional. Say you're passionate.
Yes.
Because that's like a negative connotation to say, I'm sorry. And I did. Just the other day, I said, I'm sorry, I'm emotional. And I was told, no. And it was by a strong man who said to me, Lydia, don't say emotional, say passionate. Mm. And he's right. Think about it.
Yeah.
You're passionate. There's a difference between being passionate and emotional. Because when you say you're emotional, it's like you can't control yourself.
Well,
and I am fully capable of controlling my emotions.
Right. Yeah.
Right now, I'm going to kick you in the you know what.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, man. I hope I don't get in trouble.
You're not going to
get in
trouble. Don't
week,
worry.
You're totally saying the B
in
word.
Trouble. Pretend like I was the one who said it.
Okay, but I said it.
They wouldn't be surprised if I said it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just feel bad.
I'm throwing my voice and making it sound like you.
Oh, guys. I need this FCC list of language here. Man, I really need it.
It is a
tape to the
body
wall.
Part.
If you're getting a spanking.
An organ.
We'll be right back.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
See, I love playing music.
I do too.
I love playing music. I feel like music, it feeds the soul, right? Don't you love it, Lauren?
I love it, but I'm kind of grateful you guys aren't singing right now.
Oh, that is really. She's
you've never heard
sassy.
Us karaoke, and then because then you
yeah,
think
thank
differently.
You. Thank you.
Okay, fine. It's on.
Lydia's
when these bars are open.
Lydia's
we're
got. She's got a great voice. I have the great rapping skills. And
okay.
Together, we are a force
what
to be reckoned
you,
with.
What can you rap?
I mean, Beastie Boys.
Okay, so get
Beastie
get it
Boys.
Ready, please.
Which
Paul Revere. Thank you.
Okay, get that ready.
I love how he's like, yeah, obviously.
And get me Love is a Battlefield. We're going to have a karaoke.
And you can get
single.
Me or you can get me any Britney Spears song.
Any Britney Spears.
Joy and Pain.
We will do this.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Yes.
So we've got some guests coming in shortly, but we still have Lauren Conlon here.
Yes, you still have me.
Who hasn't been fired or thrown out due to her
for
foul language.
The V word.
The V word. And T. Dave Labrosi's right there.
Dave's
he's shaking
actually
his finger at you right
don't
now.
Say
saying,
it.
Bad girl. Bad girl.
We've got
she said vagina.
He's shaking
Dave.
His head.
I'm
at
telling
me.
On
oh.
you.
Shaking his head.
Look at his face. Look at his face. He's so mad right now. You're done.
Actually,
you're
dead.
What
dead
I said,
I'm
Dave,
dead
what I said was it is a body part. It is a clinical medical
okay,
term.
But I was making a point with it. I didn't just shout it out to just shout out the body part. I was saying it for
move
a reason.
On. As long as you're not talking about anything being inserted into
no,
the
oh, Lydia. God. Oh.
No, but as soon as you tell
Dave
me to
is
move
having
on,
a nervous
come on
breakdown.
Now, come on. This is a family-rated show.
Okay, we're done. We're
no,
done
but
here.
ABC News, actually, by the way, they tweeted something out the other day where they said instead of women
breathe,
who breastfeed or pregnant women, it was something like something gender neutral. Like, I think this way too far, this whole gender neutrality.
But men
type
don't
of
breastfeed.
Thing.
Men can't. So what
absolutely they can breastfeed.
What?
Because if you're transgendered and you're a man and that.
Okay, yes.
People who breastfeed, instead of women who breastfeed, lactating person, you know, those type of.
So they can take hormones to actually produce milk
out
of their
woman,
nipples?
A woman who undergoes.
I see. Okay.
A transgender man.
He can take some pills and breastfeed because I would be like very grateful for that. I'd be like, oh, here you go.
By the way, Red Carpet Rendezvous is your podcast.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay?
Yeah, that's my
and it's important, but I want everybody to follow you on social media.
Thank you. Yes.
And
yes.
Tell us all the different little outlets for social media.
Oh, yes. So you can follow me on social at Lauren_interviews for Instagram.
Okay.
And then you can follow me on Twitter, which I'm very new to Twitter, at Conlon_Lauren.
Okay.
I would be very appreciative for those follows.
I'm going to.
And you're Juliet Huddy TV.
Yes.
Not the porn star.
No.
There's a porn star named Juliet Huddy? Ooh.
Well, I mean, it's a fake account.
Oh.
And I can't get verified on Twitter for some reason. So
wait, that's so weird.
It's ridiculous.
I'm
Lydia News, LIdianews.
Lydia News 1?
I'm on Instagram, Lydia News 1, and then everywhere else, Lydia News, and then I've got the fan page. Do you got some music for us right now, DJ Mike Lopez?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Here we go. Come on.
Good way to celebrate.
Do it.
Let's pray.
Baby. Do you want to hear my impression?
Yes.
Oh, baby.
Come on in. Come on in.
Oh, baby. How was I supposed to know?
The ladies, what the heck?
Wasn't right. Oh, baby.
I should have left. We got the ladies in the house. Some other ladies.
All right. I'm going to.
Are you going to
wait? Sing this part.
Show me how you want it to. Tell me, baby, cause I need to know now, because my loneliness.
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you so much. Oh, my.
I must confess.
That was fun.
I still believe.
These ladies are coming in going, what have we just stumbled into? What mess have we just stumbled into?
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Are we going to do any of the rap, like my Paul Revere, or, you know?
We don't have to do it right away.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm Julie Sagoskin. I'm part of the trio of ladies, What the F.
And you are?
I am Lisa Avellino, the fitness anchor of the team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys, you both look buff, by the way.
So Julie is the editor-in-chief of Resident Magazine, New York's leading lifestyle and luxury publication. She oversees everything from writing assignments to layouts to photo shoot productions, party planning, and more. You worked at CBS Radio, right? You've had a long career.
Listen, I've always loved radio. When I was in college, I did a few internships at WBZ in Boston. I just love the medium. It's so fun. I was more behind the scenes, still doing interviews, but this has been great being a part of WABC and bringing all my experience from the magazine to the air, and especially being with my lovely co-host. It's just a lot of fun.
How did you guys end up meeting? How did you guys come together? And give me the sort of the impetus behind the podcast.
The impetus behind the podcast was really where fashion meets food,
wellness,
and really where the connection between what we wear on the outside and how we feel on the inside, it really connects. And that voice, and also our listener's voice, is really what inspired it. I myself have been in radio for over 25 years, from VOX to AM 97, and this is really where we connected.
Oh, so you guys through the radio medium.
And Lisa is a top health and fitness expert with decades of experience. You're the fitness director for the Skinny Line. And, you know, I see you've been on Fox, NBC, ABC, News 12. You've been featured in The Times, Shape, Fitness.
Oh, no. Don't stop there.
And you know what? I was listening to their show. And tell us about your show when it airs.
Every Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. on WABC.
Whoa, that's too high.
And then you could go to the pod. You can also, they can check it out too if they miss the live broadcast. They can go to WABCradio.com. But you guys were talking about the coffee, the cayenne pepper, right? It was like cayenne, and what else was it that you kind of mix in it?
Oh,
and
yes, a lemon twist.
Cocoa. It's a special secret. You can go to the podcast and find
more
information
Very
about
smart
that.
To drive people to the podcast. Tease us a little bit. I noticed that Jackie is not here. You have a third partner, correct?
Yes,
Jackie
Justice. Might be calling in.
Maybe she'll call in. But what stuck out for me, Lydia's going to laugh at me, but I see leading expert in weight loss, resistance, digestive wellness, and menopause. And Dave Labrosi's having a heart attack again right now.
No.
But I mean,
no,
this is a very natural to, a thing that
this
women go
process.
Through. And so, yeah, I mean, that kind of jumped out at me. So you guys really do cover the gamut. I mean, you are everything woman, everything that interests us, everything that affects us.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And also it's about the vital health movement. We collaborated on a company called The Skinny Line, and it's all about a 30-day program to help women, whether it's perimenopausal or whether it's to kick the COVID-15 or 19 or just to get remotivated. It really is more than just a diet. It's about boosting your immunity, especially now. When you ask questions, you get answers. You ask better questions, you get better answers. And that's what The Skinny Line is about. And that's a very big part of our show.
So tell us a little bit more about the show in terms of how you roll it out, and do people call in? Is it that type of thing, or do people give you questions? How do you decide what you cover?
Right. Well, I think there are so many things, especially today, affecting women. And we're so happy that we get to be this platform, and especially coming from our backgrounds, fitness, nutrition, myself with the magazine. We're constantly working with women. So we really know as women, and plus what other women want, from A-listers to the everyday working mom. And I just think this was a natural collaboration with us. And we really like to bring the fun in as well. So it is informative. If people want to call in, we love that too. We're happy to answer all their questions, whether it's things with the Skinny Line we're working on to get them in shape, or they just want to know how to get bikini ready. We love to have celebrity guests on. And like we said before, this really is for every woman, all ages. We represent, you know, everybody from their 20s to their 90s. We're all women. We all go through the same things. And yeah, we're just bringing the food, fashion, fitness, and fun is most important. We recently rebranded the name of the show, and I think it just shows fun. It's in the name, and that's what we're about at the end of the day.
And this week we have Mary Lou. Want to share about that, Julie?
Yes, we're so excited. We have Mary Lou Henner coming
in.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, she's a big icon. We had Bridget Moynihan last week.
Oh, wow.
We have a special Grammy-nominated guest. We have a lot of people in the pipeline. So it's just all about bringing
Sports
in people
Illustrated
from all
models
backgrounds.
The Bachelorette. We've had the
very
gamut.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And our listeners want to know their secrets, how they get in shape for the red carpet, how do they maintain both a busy schedule, being an actress, being a mom, managing, having it all, how do you do that? And that's where we're asking those questions, what their workout is, what they do, how they do it, and that's inspiring.
You mentioned background, Julie. What is your? Where are you from? Where do you hail from? From where do you hail, Julie?
Yes. Well, not the lovely London, but originally from outside of Philadelphia. I grew up in Florida. I've been here actually. I'm in walking distance to the studio,
nice.
So I never have any excuses not to show up. But yeah, I've loved being a part of New York, and especially now, I think we're trying to really be that voice of New York and capture what's going on and showing people that we're resilient, we're strong, we're going to bring back all the industries. We're just really, really proud to be here.
And you are from?
I'm from Westchester, Scarsdale, New York.
Okay. I went to Briarcliff High School.
Oh,
for
so
2 years, and then I moved down to D.C.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So we are neighbors. That's
and
you're
my Westchester girl. Now. I'm in Hartsdale.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so it's a small world.
Wow. So if you ever need a ride in, or I'll
just
hop in.
Yeah, there you go. We can carpool. What's the one secret that you would think people don't realize that you can do to, like, really drop the weight quickly? What's, like, a quick secret?
TheSkinnyLine.com.
There you go. The Skinny Line. That's some good promotion.
No, the
and
most
what did
important-
Chief Juanita Holmes say about women is, being a woman is marketing? Isn't that what she
said?
Said
being a woman is marketing in itself. I love that. That was just a cool line that the chief of New York City NYPD Patrol said earlier today when we were interviewing. And I thought that is going to be my new mantra. I mean, because it really, it's true. And you guys, one of the things that she said is confidence. And I think Joan Hamburg also said that, another a radio icon. And you guys come in here, you're very confident. And I think that is something that's so important for women. We kind of get bogged down sometimes, and we sort of, Lydia and I always joke around, we're sort of ingrained by society to always be sort of apologetic. And having confidence lets us know we're not always wrong. We're not always the one that has to be the apologetic one. We have to hold ourselves really high. We have to give ourselves credit. And that sounds like what this podcast is kind of all about.
Absolutely. But just from my corner, confidence comes from practice. Practice.
True, that's true, actually.
Practice makes permanent. And when you continue to get up and you try things and they don't work, you get better. And one of the things that I've always ingrained with my son and my clients is proper planning prevents poor performance. When you get up and you try and you share and you inspire others, you become it. So confidence isn't just an act. It's what you do and who you are. And that's why wellness is such an important part of it. If you're running on empty, it's hard to be everything you can be, whether it's creativity, whether it's what you do every day. You both have so much energy. You have amazing shows. And our listeners have said that, oh, we love this one. We love that one. So it really comes through. And wellness and health is a big part of that confidence.
And we have 30 seconds, so we have to go to a hard break. Can you tell us in 30 seconds, you're the radio pro, right? Or both of you are, actually. Just tell me how to summarize your show and where people can find it and why they should tune in.
All right. Well, so many things. Again, it's really where wellness meets fashion. We're doing a partnership coming up with Fran Drescher in the Skinny Line.
Oh, I love her.
Oh, wow. Mammy. Oh, my God.
And we're raising funds, Move Across America. We're also doing an event to bring back New York restaurants. We had Lydia on last week. We have a great lineup to get Americans and to get everyone back in business, eating well, moving well, and do your thing. Be inspired.
Look good while doing it. Yeah, it's all things lifestyle, everything that we've come to love and have expertise in really coming together. So it's about being informative, inspiring, but just being uplifting and fun. And like you said, we don't have to be perfect all the time, but we can at least pretend to be, or we hear something on the air and we make you happy for
and
a minute. That's worth it.
Everything you need to know, the behind the scenes secrets and how to be healthy and live it and how to pull it all together.
And when you see people who are doing that, it is inspiring. Guys, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Ladies, what the F? Fashion, fitness, food, and fun. You can listen to them every Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. Thank you, ladies, so much, and we'll be right back.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Now, here's a little story I got to tell about three bad brothers you know so well. It started way back in history with I Rock,
FCA, and me,
Mike P.
We had a little horsey named Paul Revere. Just me and my horsey in a quart of beer. Right across the land, kicking up sand. Shit, horses on my tail, cause I'm in demand. One lonely BCIB, all by myself without nobody. The sun is beating down on my baseball hat. The air is getting hot, the beer is getting flat.
I'll wrap it up.
I ran into a guy, his name is MCA. I said hi, he said hi.
He totally, okay, we don't have to do this whole thing, but it is one of the greatest songs
you
ever.
You literally outdid my best friend, because that's her song when we would go and do karaoke.
Oh, no, no.
And you nailed it. I got to tell her. Sorry, ladies.
Sorry. Joy and Pain.
What's another
by
song?
Rob Bass?
What's another song that you can do?
Rob Bass, Joy and Pain.
Oh, I know Rob Bass. I know It Takes Two to Make a Thing Go Right.
Well,
let's do that.
Do that one. Yeah.
Let's do that. I know that one. It Takes Two to Make a Thing Go Right. Come on, pick.
Woo!
Come
yeah.
on, Mike Lopez Woo! From the Boogie Down.
I'm trying.
No, you do.
You know,
thing.
We were talking. Yeah, well, you find that we were talking before. A piece of advice we would give people, and this is going to sound corny, but this is 100% true. I say, listen to your mom.
Oh,
nobody loves you more.
I know that's
than
so
your
true.
Mother.
My mother
nobody.
Was always right about everything.
I swear, nobody loves you more than your mother. And my mom, I wish I had listened to her more. And the love that a mother has for their child is incomparable. And I love my daughter like I would jump out this building right now for her if it meant to isolate her from any kind of pain. And so that's my one piece of advice for anybody who's aspiring to be anything. Listen to your mom, listen to your dad, or whoever that person is that's
your nurturer.
Absolutely. Aunt, yeah. uncle, somebody, because they love you and they have your best interests at heart. So that's my piece of advice.
You know, you said something very prevalent right there. And speaking about moms, my mother always said to me, if you love to do something when you wake up in the morning, honey, that's your passion.
Yeah.
If that's your passion, you go make a career of it. And there's many of opportunities to do it. So anybody can do it. And I tell my younger sister all the time that as well, too. I'm like, anything you want to do, you can dream of, you can do it. Just get out there and do it.
100% can.
You really believe?
You can.
They want to cancel Speedy Gonzalez, too.
Oh,
come on.
God's sake, people. Pepe Le Pew, I understand.
Oh, no, that's the Roadrunner.
I say we just take a little bit of a time to do some karaoke like
okay,
this.
Okay, so come on, let's do it.
Yeah!
Because it takes two to make a thing go right, like me and you.
Woo!
Are they? They're just listening.
I mean, our bosses are probably like, we will never let these two folks ever
two to
again.
Make a thing go right?
Get it!
It takes two to make it out of sight.
Woo! go.
Wanna rock right now. I'm Rob Bass and I came to get down. I'm not internationally known, but I'm wrong to rock the microphone because I get stupid. I mean outrageous. Stay away from me if you're contagious, cause I'm a man. No, not a loser. To be an MC is what I choose. A ladies love me, girls adore me. I mean, even the ones who never saw me, right? The way that I rhyme at a show. The reason why, man, I don't know. So let's go, cause
yes.
It takes two to make a thing go right,
we
Juliet
Huddy.
We need
to go to karaoke.
Absolutely.
It is calling our
name. You know what's
name.
Studio 49.
I know.
Studio 49. We have this beautiful studio here.
I know, and they're working on it today.
Oh, they are.
Yes,
and then
they
we
are.
Will have a karaoke party. John Katzmatidis has already said we can have a karaoke party there.
That's going to be epic.
It's going to be epic.
But you know what? The problem is that I'm going to be hogging the mic constantly. I'll be pushing people out of the way.
People don't realize that you have to also be a performer, a teacher, a psychologist when you do this job. You know, right? And
I thought you were going to say when you do karaoke. I'm like,
I need this job. But I feel like karaoke has helped to improve my performance. You know, I actually performed with a band in, like, South Carolina.
A couple
of times. Yeah, I did.
Wait,
it was
what do you
country,
mean?
A country music band.
Express your vocal cords on some Miss Pat Benatar.
And we would do Johnny Cash.
Hit it, Lydia.
We are stars.
I can't do it now. I need a couple of drinks.
No one can tell us where we're
going. What's the other one?
Back up away from the mic, and then you can do it.
I need another. What's the other Pat Benatar song? What's the other one?
There's so many. There's We Belong.
Oh, We Belong. I'll do We Belong.
That's a high one, too, Lydia.
Is it?
A high one. I'll
do We Belong. That one's better.
And then there's Heartbreaker.
No, no, We Belong. I can do We Belong. I think I did We Belong when the last time we karaoke together.
Don't you think I remember that?
That was a long time ago when the world was normal, no longer.
Oh, and when life was a little different.
If you could do something differently in your life, Juliet Huddy, what would it be?
Not getting married until I met my husband. My current husband. No, there are a lot of things I would do differently.
I think you're too nice sometimes. You got to be...
See, and the funny thing is that some of our listeners who are like, I am their nightmare, they would think that I'm just the most horrible human being, but I can be a little too nice sometimes. What's happening with my headset?
She lost her headphones. I knocked them off.
Ladies, you gotta play nice. Come on now.
That easy.
Oh, yeah.
Do the doubts and complicate your mind. We belong to the light. We belong to the fun.
We had fun today, didn't we?
This was amazing, and I honestly think that there should be maybe a half hour of karaoke every day. Just a little break in the day.
Whatever we deny or embrace, for worse or for better.
Maybe we can get Pat Benatar as a guest.
Although
I thought she was
like, we belong together.
Maybe she won't.
I need some drinks.
Maybe it's a sign of weakness. When I don't know what to say.
Wow. You have a really pretty voice, Liz.
I just wouldn't know what to do with my strength anyway.
Oh.
Become a habit. Do we distort the facts? Now there's no looking forward. Now there's no turning back. When you say we belong to the light, you belong to the thunder.
I mean, why am I not videotaping?
I know, I was trying to get you before as you were rapping. No,
right.
Now I'm embarrassed. Look, I'm all red now. Now I'm embarrassed.
That was really good.
Well, Lauren Conlon, really we need to get a karaoke going. John Katzmatidis, he's going to do it. And that's what I mean, we're going to give a shameless plug to John Katzmatidis. This was all his idea.
Oh,
this International Women's Day. This is, and Margot Katzmatidis. And like I've said it, and I'll say it again, behind every great man is an even greater woman. She's a boss lady.
Yes,
she is the boss of all bosses, that lady.
She is. She's
I
cool.
told her to write a parenting book because her kids are remarkable and they could be spoiled brats. And yet her son is always working. The daughter is always working and they're all really nice. It's like weird.
Yeah, I mean.
Because you would think they'd be brats.
Well, yeah, especially money. It's like, wow.
Yeah,
but I mean, they've obviously done a lot of things in their life. They're successful. Yeah, they do. Oh,
there
is that
go.
It?
That's it. It's, we're coming to an end here. Thank you.
They're like, never again.
Never
with
again.
With this karaoke crew. It's been really fun, Liz.
Oh, Liz is the Cure. See? We love music, too. We love music and I mean, could you imagine yourself doing anything else but this?
No.
No.
I could imagine myself hosting a radio show with music.
Absolutely.
And just doing, like, just introing and talking about the 80s and talking about, oh, God, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Awesome. Do the 80s. All right. There we go.
A lot of
All
fun,
right,
Lydia. You've got
so
a
much.
Longer day.
Thank you. Lydia Serrano, Juliet Huddy. I'll be back with you guys at 4, and then John Katzmatidis, 5 to 6, and America's Mayor Rudy Giuliani's coming up.